Good evening. I'd like to call a meeting of the Tompkins County Legislature for March 19th to order. Our first item of business is a public hearing on the proposed local law A of 2013, amending the Chapter 32 of the Code of Ethics. Is there anyone in this room or the other room or in the building who wants to speak on the Code of Ethics? Now, wait a minute in case anybody does. Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing. Would you all please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call of members, please. Mr. Proto?
Here.
Ms. Pryor?
Here.
Mr. Robison?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Here.
Mr. Stein? Mr. Burbank?
Here.
Ms. Chalk?
I am here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. McAsee has asked to be excused. Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
13 members present.
Proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices.
Communications are on the desks.
Today marks the 10th anniversary of the beginning of the war in Iraq. So I would like to observe, please join me in a moment of silence for the thousands of Americans and Iraqis who've passed since then. Thank you. We're going to be doing a little bit of reordering of the agenda tonight. We do need an executive session, a brief executive session for a personnel matter. And as soon as Legislator Stein gets here, I'd like to have the Distinguished Youth Award. I guess he's, I hate to do this, but we have to wait for Peter, so. All right, the next item of business is the public privilege of the floor. We have a lot of people signed up. I welcome everybody to our chambers. You're welcome to come back anytime. Trust me, we are eager to have the public come and speak to us. So I have people signed up. There's a three-minute time limit. And Kathy Covert will help you keep track of the time. She has a one-minute left sign and then time is up sign. And to be respectful of everybody else here, please keep to that. I will read, what I'll do is I'll read three names, the person who's speaking and two more, so you can kind of, move inside the room here. If the folks by the door could be sensitive so that folks can come in and out, that'd be great. And I understand there are people in the other courtroom, so we apologize for not having a large enough chambers, and hope that you're able to hear and see as well as you'd like. We will then also, I'll also move the items of the business around so that we'll get to the Dave McKenna's member file resolution. It's right now at the end of the legislature's agenda. We will move it up, so we won't have to wait for everything else. My first speaker I have is Joe Boys, to be followed by Lewis Ward, and Timothy Bernhardt. And I'm sorry if I mess up anybody's name, but Joe Boys.
And Martha, will people be saying where they live?
Yes, please.
Per our usual.
All right, Mr. Boys, Peter has just gotten here, so we're going to do a Distinguished Youth, but you'll be the first person when we get to that. So, yes, I'd like to ask everybody to say where they live, including whether you're in Tompkins County or otherwise. So, Peter?
Yes.
Would you like to start with the Distinguished Youth Award?
Yes, it's my honor to nominate. There they are. Looking for you back there.
And use the microphone, Peter.
So I'd like to nominate someone who has done an exceptional, has shown himself as an exceptional deliverer of
of Human Services at a relatively young age. You are a sophomore in high school, is that right?
Yes.
Young Mr. Stewart is a sophomore in high school and has become very closely involved in the AIDS Ride for Life effort. He, I do like this, he has fought the authoritative red tape and bureaucracy who said he was too young to ride in the race, but he managed to convince them that either he was an exception or their red tape was unwarranted. Have I got that story right? Yeah, more or less. Okay. And I'd like to also introduce Larry Roberts, who we all know, who wrote the letter that brought him to this legislature at this time. So, Larry, would you like to say a word or two?
Sure.
Is it on?
Yes.
So, I was really glad to nominate Ben. I've known Ben and his family for a while now through St. Paul's, and I've certainly known his father for a long time. And what I think is really important is that Ben's service at Ride for Life not only supports the Southern Tier AIDS program, but says to me that people are not forgetting that AIDS is still an important pressing health issues for many people throughout this region of New York. And it's something that with the pace of life and the pace of issues that we all have to deal with is important to remember that the epidemic is not over and that we still have a long way to go. So thanks, Ben, for your support for the Southern Tier AIDS program and your hard work as a volunteer.
How could it have slipped my mind, Ben? But you also live in District 11, which is the district that I represent, and that's nice to be able to nominate you. So we have here a plaque that says the Tompkins County Distinguished Youth Award presented to Ben Stewart in recognition of your outstanding commitment to your community, March 2013. Sponsored by Bangs Ambulance Service, Tompkins County Legislature, Cayuga Radio Group, Purity Ice Cream, and the A&B Awards and Engraving. And we also have here a small package of goodies for your pleasure and use. And again, once again, I'm very, very proud to make that particular award. Would either of his parents like to make
it?
Got
a lot of work to do.
So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Peter.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Peter. And thank you, the Stewart family. Let me just say, before we go back to Mr. Boyce, I've gotten a number of emails about my particular, one of the quotes by a reporter in the on this issue, something that I was quoted as saying, that I didn't think what Tompkins County did would matter in Albany. That is not to say, just in case this is what you're going to speak on, I hope I can let you use your 3 minutes some other way. I did not in any way mean that we shouldn't speak, that people shouldn't say what they think, and that the county shouldn't take a position. The point was, I don't really think Albany's going to, my personal opinion, don't think Albany really will change based on what we do, unfortunately. That may be a cynical view, but that was what that quote was about. So, Will?
Martha, I think it's also important for people to know that if they don't wish to stay the entire evening, that our meetings are available online. They're cablecast locally, and you can watch this to the bitter end through the comfort of your own home and or later.
That's right. At the end of the sign-ups, I'll ask if anybody else who hasn't signed up would like to speak. So don't feel that, you know, if you don't get a blue sheet that you won't have a chance. So with that, let's start with Mr. Boyes, then Lewis Ward, and Timothy Bernhardt.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak, and I'm really doubly glad I came to see a young man who's done so much at a very young age for our community. That's really welcome. And I am in public health myself, so it's really great for me to say that. My name is Joe Boyes. I'm 73 years old. I'm originally from New York State. I grew up north of here. I live right now in Ithaca. My wife, Sandy, and I just came back from a year overseas in Northeast Thailand working in public health there in remote low-income neighborhoods. I have spent the 10 years before that teaching public health at George Washington University in Washington, D.C. I am not a physician. I am a research guy, but I'm going to speak about public health. And if there's any physicians in the room or the next room or watching online, I apologize to you in advance, but I have my material well sourced from medical journals. And I don't have much knowledge of guns. However, I did spend 10 years early in my life in Vietnam, 8 years in combat. So I know an awful lot about assault rifles, and I know an awful lot about heavy weapons. I have a brother-in-law who's a veterinarian up in Westport, New York, who is a big avid hunter. I respect him. I respect his right to bear arms. I'm not going to tread on the Second Amendment. But tonight I want to speak from a public health point of view about people that aren't represented here tonight. Sandy and I are teaching. We've been teaching for 3 months, and we came back, international students at Cornell, and we're having the great opportunity to teach a pilot program of what we call the short people, and these are four-year-olds. And it's the children that are really bearing the brunt of what we have going on in Tompkins County and all over America right now. Children are dying from weapons every day at a higher rate in America than in any other country. They do not die like they die in America, in Thailand, in France, or in Great Britain. Kids are getting hurt by guns. So I'd just like to run through a couple of things really quickly.
One more minute, please.
Going back in history just a little bit, we noticed in medicine in the 1990s, I remember in 1990, some of you may recall this, that we got together and we asked physicians to work together with the police officers, with local government, with educators, and with clergy. And we got programs going to try and educate people about what to do with their weapons and how to reduce the danger to children. We had programs that may be, ring a bell to you, some called Connected Kids and Bright Futures that we did all over America with people to try and reduce this rate. So it's nothing new. But starting in 2010, we began to see through data the CDC was still able to collect before the NRA tried to lock down what doctors can do. We're now at 6,570 deaths a year in children. We have 6,570 kids died in 2010, and the figures for 2011 aren't in, but it's more than that. The highest cause of death in a little kid, if you're the doctor seeing him, he could die from a firearm. That's what it is.
Mr. Boyes, your time is up, sir. But you can hand in your whole statement, and we'll make sure the legislature has it and it goes in the record.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Before it goes away, can you say where you live, please?
Yeah, you said Ithaca. Okay.
If people can be more specific.
Yes. Lewis Ward. Okay. Timothy Bernhardt, and then John O'Rourke. And again, if you would let us know where you live, please, that'd be great. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Lewis Ward. I live in Newfield since 1985 and the county since 1975. I would like you to support Resolution 506 or at least amend the resolution so that you as a body can indicate a questioning of the safe gun law. This law was rushed into enactment without proper procedural review to assess the impact of the legislation. I see this as a failure to allow inclusion in the democratic process. Our own Assemblywoman, Barbara Lifton, co-sponsored this legislation, and while there are some very good measures in that, she failed to assure proper procedures. Legislation should be based on a body of existing laws rather than the caprice of a politician or well-funded interest groups, no matter what side of the aisle. This process failure is alone enough to warrant repeal so as to allow review and discussion. I know many of you, and my understanding is that you encourage the practice of good governance rather than poorly thought-out media stunts by politicians with high aspirations. What was indicative of Cuomo's hubris was his major amendment allowing movie productions to have weapons that citizens can't own. It would be laughable if his concern for New York workers wasn't so pathetic. This law was enacted without any consideration of financial support for possible retooling Remington Arms or retraining the workforce to support larger Utica economy if there's an effect, if they leave. This poor social planning shows no respect for workers and their families from those politicians who blindly wrote and continue to defend this legislation. Is this the type of planning that progressive Democrats think is just? My own inclination and training is in ecological theory and science. I have been trained to see the forest for the trees. I would expect legislators to foster that integrative thinking so that that is so well used in strategic planning and ecological sciences. When major changes are perceived, we should allow for time for deliberation.
1 minute.
I have become aware of the complexity and interrelationship of the body of laws. I appreciate the attempts at thoroughness of the committee review work that is so ensures good legislation. The New York State SAFE Act failed at this. Is this the type of governance we want?
Thank you, Mr. Ward. Next, Timothy Bernhardt, John O'Rourke, after John, Tony Tavelli. Mr. Bernhardt.
Good evening. I'm here to speak on behalf of a lot of us concerned citizens. Ian Bishop gave me this to read because he's picking up a newborn baby he adopted. So,
could you get a little closer to the microphone? Thank you.
So basically, I'm here to speak to you about the opposition of the New York SAFE Act. First, I would like you to know that myself and a group of concerned citizens collected over 1,600 signatures opposing the SAFE Act in 1 week's time. We did this on our own without the backing of any political action committees or lobbying groups. There is no hard evidence that laws such as these prevent crime or make it more difficult for criminals to break the law. In fact, the exact opposite is true. According to FBI Uniform Crime Reports, firearm homicides in our state have shown a decrease in 14% from 2010 to 2011. According to the same report, as restrictions on firearms are relaxed across our nation, violent crimes have been decreased. Another facet of the law is the universal background checks. You have probably heard that often statistics have 40% of firearm sales happening without background checks. This is a false statement. This is a reference to the survey that was conducted in 1993 and 94, not today. It is found that only 4% of firearms that came from a gun show or other unregulated source and 17 came from another family member. Numbers do not support the 40% myth that we have today. With all this I have laid forth until now, the main reason that you should pass this resolution in opposition of the New York SAFE Act is basically because it violates the United States Constitution's Second Amendment, the New York State's Constitution, Article 12, and the New York Civil Rights Act, Article 4, Section 2. This law is a direct attack on the liberty of every citizen in New York. New York SAFE Act is another attempt to chip away the civil liberties we enjoy as human beings.
1 minute.
Okay. And also, you know, like I brought up before, you know, the fact that, you know, we do a lot of, you know, a lot of us do a lot of competition, you know, matches and stuff with three guns, pistols. And a lot of law enforcement and federal law enforcement use these for training. I shoot with a bunch of them personally. And this is actually making them even felons under this new law. So I just, you know, another thing, you know, I'm sure every one of you have had, you know, family members serving the armed forces, fighting for our freedom. You know, I ask you just to oppose this law. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Tell us again. I wasn't sure if you were reading for someone else. What is your name?
Yes, Timothy Barnhart from Brooktondale, New York, Tompkins County. And this is basically from Ian Bishop and a group of us that, you know, we've been meeting. So.
Okay. Thank you very much. John O'Rourke, Tony Tavelli, and then Thomas Clardy.
Good evening. My name is John O'Rourke, and I'm from live in Tompkins County in Newfield. And I'd just like to say that I am opposed to the SAFE Act, and just to read some information that I've gathered over the past couple of weeks. New York State Comptroller Thomas DiNapoli just released a report that New York State authorities have quietly racked up $243 billion in debt with no public opinion. In 1985, 40% of the state's outstanding debt had been approved by voters. Now, it's less than 6% get approved by voters. Taxpayer debt is required to be approved by voters, but authorities have been used to circumvent this law. So with the way the SAFE Act was, you know, brought about and that, this isn't, you know, this is what goes on in Albany and our country all the time. And if this is what it takes to get voters involved, you know, to see what is really going on, you know, then I guess this is for a good cause. Cuomo's 13-14 budget proposes authorities would be used to expand debt by creating a new bond financing program backed by the state's sales tax revenues. Also, the Federal Department of Veterans Affairs spokesman Mark Ballesteros told the Associated Press, issued a statement saying that the Veterans Affairs would not comply with the new gun law, saying that federal laws protecting veterans' treatment records precedes. Just last year, New York State dropped the funding of the COBUS law, which was a state requirement to capture expended rounds to link a particular gun in the event it was used in a crime. Over 10 years, New York State spent $40 million on this law, and no one was ever convicted. And here in Tompkins County, where it hits home the most, we have an opportunity to set a precedent that we will not tolerate any gun violence. The defendant who's accused of shooting one of our own Ithaca police officers had been in the courts around Tompkins County for over a three-year period with guns and drugs, but our court system failed to convict this guy, failed to, you know, apprehend him, and now he's caught after he finally shot someone. The courts need to step up, you know, and take, and, you know, stop plea bargaining these things, you know. And I just have one more thing I'd like to read. This is a quote from Samuel Adams. He said that the said Constitution shall never be constructed to authorize Congress to infringe or prevent the people of the United States of America, who are peaceful citizens, from keeping or restricting their firearms. And I ask you, members of the board, to at least review this information I presented before coming to the decision like that of a neighboring town board chairman who said, "I grew up hunting and fishing and trapping. I have no fear of guns.
Please finish up.
But because I know how to use them. But having said all this, I support this bill because I don't know what else to do."
Thank you, Mr. O'Rourke.
Thank
Next
you.
Speaker is Tony Tavelli, then Thomas Clardy, and James Murphy.
Good evening. Tony Tavelli, Town of Caroline. And I also oppose the SAFE Act, so I'll skip over that because it's been well covered right now. What I'd like to speak to is assessment and the 230% increase in assessments on rural, what is characterized as rural land. One of the obvious consequences is that property owners of large tracts of land will be forced to sell pieces of what is for most their heritage, cutting it up into lots that will grow houses. This would be contrary to the comprehensive plan of the town of Caroline and most, if not all, plans of Compton County, where there is a wish for open land and farming. After spending years on the town of Caroline Planning Board and reading the news and the plans of Thompson County and the complaints of all municipalities on the 2% tax cap, it looks to me that this 230% increase is a way to increase tax revenue and still slide under the cap, putting unfair stress on the farmer and the rural or large landowner. While businesses of the elected choose to get 10 years of tax-free existence to build in Ithaca, this is also contrary to the plan of self-sustainable Tompkins. Anything that must be subsidized is not self-sustaining. It's an expensive luxury. And as a Board of Education member, I know all about the tax cap and trying to survive it. What I find most frustrating today is all municipalities, school districts, teachers' unions, and anybody on the dole from the state is crying, "You can't cut me. You send me my check," like a stereotypic welfare recipient. There's work you could do to create your own revenue, but no, I'm not doing that. I ain't working at McDonald's. Send me my check. What am I talking about? Developing our minerals. It's work. It's a paycheck. Instead of going to work, you send me, the farmer, the bill. Stop the nonsense and go to work. This body here in front of me has been very active in attacking private property uses, pigeonholing us all into your mold. We all are different. Different dreams, different loves. Laws restrict and cage us. So many that we can't breathe. Unable to be what our parents raised us to be. No different than asking a black man to be white or a gay man to be straight. You can't be happy if you're not able to breathe, to live. Smothered people don't produce. Eventually they will rebel, armed or not. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tavelli. I'm sorry. Okay, if you want to turn in your written statement, that'd be fine. I want to mention that there's a public meeting. Michelle, you just sent out a notice about the assessment issue of the rural land issue. Do you know the date?
The one in Caroline.
The one in Caroline.
April 4th at 7 o'clock at the Brooktondale Fire Department.
April 4th, 7 o'clock at the Brooktondale Fire Department. Our county assessor, Jay Franklin, and Frank Proto and Caroline Supervisor Don Barber will be there to talk about the rural farm issue. And so that's everybody's welcome to that. April 4th, 7 o'clock. Thomas Clarity, then James Murphy, then Jeffrey Weiss. Thomas Clarity? Is Thomas Clarity in the other room, perhaps? Am I saying it wrong?
Thomas Clarity?
Claugherty, Claugherty, Hunt Hill Road in Dryden.
Thomas?
What? Clafferty. I know I have trouble with this name. Is he coming? Tell you what, let's start with, is James Murphy here? Is Jeffrey Weiss here? All right, if the folks who, I think we just have to keep the doorway clear, folks. You can stand in the hallway, or we have to keep the doorway clear. Tom Clarity?
I'm James Murphy.
Okay, great, thank you. And tell us where
you're going. Okay, I can keep this short. I appreciate the previous speakers. I have difficulty with the way this bill is written also. There's key points in there that mean an awful lot to me. There's certain things that I think probably rated more discussion. I'm kind of concerned about the mental health issue. I'm concerned about just not looking at practical issues in terms of gun control. I live here in Ithaca. I buy locally. I have a 410. I have a 30-06. I don't use them anymore. I come from a family of hunters. When I came back from Vietnam, graced them up and put them away. The issue with this, the safe gun law is the priority on automatic weapons and large round clips. I don't have to pretend to know what an M16 does to the human body. I've seen it. I can see it any night when I go to sleep and I'm not feeling right. I think it's essential that I don't see any threat to 30-06 if I want to ungrease it and wipe it down. But I think the one thing about the law that I totally agree with is getting the assault weapons off the table, getting the high-round magazines off the table. The other thing that bothers me an awful lot, and that's the large percentage of not necessarily New York residents, but national residents that feel that they have a right to automatic weapons because there's a threat from the government. That's a direct insult to the young men and women who serve in the Marine Corps and the soldiers and the other services, the people that have died in Iraq and Afghanistan, my brothers that died in Vietnam. I don't understand the connection between saying that people need to have automatic weapons in order to be safe in their homes. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Murphy. And I will say again, it's helpful to us to know where you live because we really like to connect the name of the face with somebody who's in our own district. So that's why we're asking. So Thomas
Fall
Clark.
Creek.
I'm sorry?
Fall Creek.
Okay. Thomas Clardy, and I've blown your name, right? Is that you?
I'm Jeffrey Weiss.
Jeffrey Weiss. All right. I could probably do Weiss. If Mr. Clardy comes in, I will apologize. So, and he can speak whenever he shows up. Jeffrey Weiss, then Frank Moore, then Joanne Cipolla-Dennis.
Hi, I am Jeffrey Weiss, and I live in the town of Ithaca. And first of all, I'm here to support the SAFE Act and support the county legislators in rejecting any attempt to call for the repeal of the SAFE Act. I believe it's important to have reasonable laws in the state governing firearms and that those laws do result in less gun violence and a safer community. And I try to base my opinion on facts and research, and I'd like to just list three or four or five of those things. One, there's almost a one-to-one correspondence between the top 10 states with meaningful gun laws and the top 10 states with the lowest rates of gun deaths. So reasonable laws do result in fewer gun deaths. Secondly, similarly, the states with the weakest gun laws are, with very few exceptions, the states with the highest rates of gun deaths. Third, gun death rates are 7 times higher in states with high gun ownership versus states with low gun ownership. Fourth, states with high gun ownership have 60% higher rates of all homicides in general, and over 100% higher rates of gun homicides. High levels of gun ownership lead to higher gun death rates, higher homicides in general, and higher gun homicides. And fifth, the effect of state gun laws go beyond the individual state boundaries. States with the weakest gun laws have the highest gun trafficking rates to other states. So to me, stronger and reasonable gun laws do reduce gun violence within a state and reduce trafficking of guns as well. So again, I support the SAFE Act and do not want to see it repealed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weiss. Frank Moore, Joanne Cipolla-Dennis, and then Herb Engman.
My name is Frank Moore, and I guess I live in Tompkins County, have been for a long time. And I'd like to talk to a little bit about the relationship between Newtown and this act. I mean, Newtown was a thing that spoiled my Christmas, and I said I still want to think about it and what it means. Now, first, let's begin with the perpetrator, you know, Adam Lanza. Could he have been identified in advance by the effect of the SAFE Act? Maybe. It's doubtful that you can find at the tail of the distribution, statistical distribution, the guy who's not only weird like Adam Lanza, but is eager to do the kind of thing that he did. Very hard to do. I don't think you'll find it easy to find a mental health professional who will think that that's very easy to do. Are they going to go through the cracks? The crack is the important thing. You're talking about finding an opening. Now, suppose he was identified. So then what, according to the SAFE Act? He would have his gun confiscated. He didn't own a gun. It was his mother's gun. Okay. Now, then what? Maybe we can get him committed. Committed? He was weird. Can he be committed for being weird? Aren't we getting confused with habeas corpus and the Second Amendment when we do that? So this is a very dubious track, I think, of but in the SAFE Act, you're going to try. And I say, God bless you, try. And now the second aspect of that thing is the weapon itself. He had the weapon. It's easier to find a Bushmaster than it is to find an Adam Lanza.
One more.
And I think that's a very important idea. The assault weapon, I was back in World War II, I was an ordnance officer, so I know something about assault. I've never fired an assault weapon, but I get the idea. To identify an assault weapon, you probably have to fire it, or at least look at the ammunition that's going into it. It has a very tiny bullet, I mean, low mass bullet, and very high velocity. That means no kick and great damage. And no kick means bang, 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 you can keep on the target. That's what happened at Newtown, where children had 11 bullets in them. Now, so that's what an assault weapon is. It doesn't help to file off the bayonet lug on a weapon and say you've done something to disqualify it.
Please finish up.
Hmm?
Please finish up. Your time's
time
up. Your time's up. Yeah.
Oh, not up yet. Okay. So I think the SAFE Act is weak on the identification of assault weapons. It's the gun that's the important thing. And registration is great, the registration of things. I think that's very important. And so, by all means, support the SAFE Act and realize how important the urgency is. There's only 1.5 million of these guns in circulation now. 500 million, 300 million pistols, automatic pistols. And so we don't want to get from the first number to the second number in assault weapons, so it's urgent to do this.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Joanne Cipolladennis, then Herb Engman, then Thomas Reynolds.
I'm short, so I have to rearrange. Thank you very much for the opportunity to speak today. I'm Joanne Cipolladennis. I live in Dryden, Freeville to be specific. This is my wife, Deborah. She's going to be my propster tonight. Many of you know me as a very passionate and peaceful woman. I wasn't always able to be peaceful. I've committed to nonviolence until I croak, but I share my experiences of what most people term responsible gun ownership with you tonight in a large Italian family. I'm one of seven children raised on a farm in upstate New York. My father used a rifle he took from his unlocked gun cabinet that resided in our living room to slaughter our livestock for food. His guns proudly displayed in cabinet with an unlocked glass door, and in my childhood, we never locked our doors. Some still don't. At age 4, I snooped through my pop's sock drawer and discovered his World War II pistol. At my parents' 25th anniversary party, my little cousins came to play with me and that really cool gun I took from pop's sock drawer. When it got too heavy for my little farmer jeans, I went to my mama, who was laughing with my aunts, and I said, Mama, this is too heavy. Would you hold it? I don't know to this day whether that pistol was loaded. I do remember seeing my mother's face drain of color, my aunts nearly pass out, and my father being in the most trouble I can ever remember. Some people say, women need guns for protection from rapists who come to their home. When I was 13, I was raped by my brother-in-law while my dad slept downstairs near his gun cabinet. I wasn't in a position to leave my room to go get a gun. It did occur to me that if I told my father, he would likely kill him with a gun. In a fit of uncontrollable rage, my father would have gone to prison to protect me and I to foster care. If I had not shot him, if I had shot him, I would likely be in prison today. As in those days in 1976, people didn't care about women being raped in their own home. When I was a corrections officer in Florida, in the maximum security prison for juveniles for heinous crimes, it was my experience that if these children did not have access to weapons, they would not have the power to harm themselves or others and be imprisoned for life for making critical errors while not having the ability to reason.
One more
minute. A deadly combination. When I was 31, my partner of 5 years, Chief Petty Officer in the United States Navy, left the room and returned with a loaded .38 unlicensed handgun from a nightstand drawer and proceeded to insist I comply with sexual pleasure and cock the trigger in a dumping stupor. I escaped with my life that day. I suffered a violent attack by an inmate while working in prison. Because my condition deteriorated while waiting for approval from workers' compensation, I suffered deep clinical depression. I often thought to end suffering in less than 1 second with a handgun. Undiagnosed, untreated illness and the intentional lack of health care in this country leads to horrible happenings. I'm happy to say I'm a success story. I shudder to think what would happen to me if I hadn't met my wife 14 years ago. Some say I need an AR, military weapon, to protect my family. I ask them, against who and from what? Those we truly need protection from cannot be controlled with even an AR-15. The weapon is powerless against what is really harming our nation, our children, with every breath, our every mouthful that we give, and without proper label and testing. The corporation is the most dangerous and stealthy entity, rendering us powerless.
Thank
Corporations
you.
Like Norse Energy impose eminent domain for which no gun will remove them, but holding a sign has worked.
Okay, we need to finish up.
I couldn't protect my land and home by holding a gun on a billionaire and Governor Cuomo for stripping me of my land and gas rights through compulsory integration.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you.
Okay. I've got Herb Engman, Thomas Reynolds, and Victor Tiffany.
Can I just suggest that everybody speak up more loudly? We can't hear a thing in there. So if everybody would speak up so that the very full courtroom can hear. I'm Herb Engman. I'm town supervisor of the town of Ithaca, and I'm here to report that last week the town board voted to support the SAFE Act, and thus we are in opposition to the resolution opposing it on the agenda tonight. Then I wanted to just mention some individual points. Somebody gave part of my quote earlier tonight, so I don't have to repeat that. But I will say that my four brothers and I and my father, when we hunted and trapped, we generally had a single-shot rifles and shotguns. I have been absolutely perplexed by the increase in firepower of weapons over these past decades. And that seems to be part and parcel of some of the opposition to the SAFE Act, the use of these incredibly powerful weapons. Fortunately, most people have given up arguing that these are necessary for hunting. That's a very good thing. So that leaves the discussion about protection from the government. And I would like you to think about how the American Indian fared on that point. The government is always going to have more firepower than individual citizens. So our job is to keep democracy strong, to make sure we retain civilian leadership of the military and protect ourselves that way, not by loading up with weapons that can't possibly protect us against a drone attack. The other argument is for home protection. We just heard a speaker say how home protection doesn't always work that way. And indeed, if you need that many bullets, I think probably you're not terribly skilled with a weapon and you aren't going to be able to protect yourself anyway. So I'm going to strongly ask you to reject this resolution tonight. And to clarify on my no better idea quote, what I was saying is I've heard not one good suggestion from the pro-gun side as to how we can stop the killing of children.
1 minute.
We have one piece of legislation that's been passed. Let's try it out. Let's see what works and what doesn't. Then we can amend it. We can fix it. We can change it. But I haven't heard one other good suggestion as to how we can stop the killing that's been going on, particularly with the high-capacity magazines and assault weapons. So I would very strongly ask you to vote no on the resolution before you. Thank you.
Thank you, Herb. Thomas Reynolds, Victor Tiffany, then Anita Bellucci.
Thomas Reynolds, Newfield. Last year on June 5th and 19th, this legislature passed three resolutions calling for constitutional amendments. These resolutions want to do away with our First Amendment right of free speech. The third resolution would allow state and federal governments to ban, limit, and regulate political ads other than those of candidates of political parties. The very heart of the First Amendment is the ability to speak without government approval. Under your resolution, all those here opposing the SAFE Act would need government approval to get together and put an ad in the paper. Martha Robertson voted for all three of these resolutions in opposition to free speech. But when she originally spoke about tonight's resolution opposing the SAFE Act, she's quoted as saying, "I honestly don't think what Tompkins County does or does not do will make any difference in Albany." In other words, the legislature has been wasting its time and the taxpayers' money with meaningless resolutions. Since tonight's agenda calls for a resolution, it's appropriate for Martha Robertson to tell us really what caused her epiphany about revolutions. And those legislators that voted with her should explain if they agree that these resolutions were and are a waste of time, and that they will refrain from doing them in the future, not just tonight. But if they disagree with Martha Robertson, there is no better opportunity to stand against demagoguery and for the Constitution. Tell the governor to stop abusing his power by waiving the three-day period for considering bills, and stop violating the Second Amendment and the New York State Civil Rights Law, which says in Article 2, Section 4, the right of the people to keep and bear arms cannot be infringed. Last year, again, on June 5th, the legislature passed another resolution with Martha Robertson voting for it. That resolution called for relief from unfunded state mandates. Robertson and others have since gone on record as favoring an increase in the state's minimum wage.
1 minute, please.
That increase is a mandate, and it is unfunded. Ms. Robertson and others who wanted relief from unfunded mandates should explain why they are now in favor of unfunded mandates. But if you really are still against unfunded mandates, the SAFE Act is an unfunded mandate, which has burdened Tompkins County with the cost of enforcing it. Tonight's resolution is another opportunity to speak out against unfunded mandates. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reynolds. Mr. Victor Tiffany. Victor Tiffany, Anita Bellucci, and then Sorrel Gottfried. I bet you have something to say about that.
Yeah, Victor Tiffany. I'm so upset I can't think where I'm from. It's not Dryden.
It's
Frank, help me out with this.
It's Danby,
thank you. And a gun owner, I'm so tempted to throw away everything I was going to say in order to address those false comments about wanting to overturn the First Amendment. None of those resolutions did any such thing. I'll come back to that perhaps another time. 2 weeks ago, I talked about the constitutionality of the SAFE Act, and tonight I want to ask a question by show of hands. This isn't a rhetorical question. How many people feel in this room that the law is or might be unconstitutional? Is or might be unconstitutional? All right, just want to note that there's only one person in the legislative body. To those who raised your hand, and I'm with you, by the way, it might be, we have a system for that. The founders gave us a constitution that allows people to take these matters before ultimately the Supreme Court. And you can back that process with money, because lawyers are expensive, with a brief before the Supreme Court. And the court has ruled most recently on the Second Amendment, D.C. v. Heller. And in that ruling, they said that legislatures can regulate dangerous and unusual arms. But they've never ruled on the size of magazines, and that's where I think this law might have some problems. The founders also gave us another route for those of you who don't like this law. And it's not this extra constitutional process that's trying to be put underway here. It's organize. If you don't like that law, if you don't like the law the legislator passed, organize. Start finding a candidate to run against that person, him or her. Start raising money. Campaigns are expensive. And run a candidate of your choice. That's what the founders put in place. That's not violence, or that's not a threat. Frank,
1 minute.
That's what democracy looks like. And so I implore this body not to pass any reactionary resolutions, to oppose these resolutions. I look at this, and I see 471 square miles of sanity surrounded by reality. Please, let's keep it that way.
Thank you, Victor. Anita Bellucci, Sarl Gottfried, and then Ellie Stewart.
Hi. I live in the town of Ithaca. I was an elementary teacher for 30 years in this area, and I have two points of research that I just find alarming that I'd like to read. The first is that we lead the developed world in a death rate by gunfire, not by a little bit, by a lot. So we are the leaders in death by gunfire. The second is that the United States leads the world in the number of guns per capita. I find those facts alarming, and I strongly support the SAFE Act. I care about our children. I care about my family, my community, and we live in a society where we have laws. This is where we live. We have rules so that we can get along, we can be safe, and we can experience our freedoms. And I believe that we need laws. We have laws for seatbelts. We have laws about poisonous materials. We have laws about smoking. I believe we need laws for safe, to be safe with guns. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bellucci. Sarl Gottfried, Ellie Stewart, and Tim Foote.
Somebody shut that light switch.
There we go. Right. Sarl Gottfried? Is Sarl Gottfried in the other room? If Sarl comes, she can have a turn. Ellie Stewart, Tim Foote, and then James Scaley.
So Martha, Herb pointed out that they may not be able to hear us.
Jim Blizzard in the back. Is there anything we can do about that? I don't know. Can you hear me, Jim?
Is your mic on?
Is my mic on?
Me? Really
need to be. All right. Is Sarl Gottfried in the other room?
Much
better. Here's Ellie. Ellie, why don't you go? Sarl Gottfried is here. Okay. Could you not hear me? Is that the problem?
It's hard, yeah.
Can you hear the speakers in the back, but just not me?
Hi, I'm Sarl Gottfried. I live at 441 Savage Farm Drive. I spent 15 years as a speech pathologist with driving around Tompkins County and Cortland County. So I'm quite familiar with the hills and valleys where a lot of people live and with the people who live in them. I would like to ask this legislature to reject this resolution and support the SAFE Act. This act does not prevent the possession of weapons in the home for the purpose of self-protection. Since many people have expressed the view that this act is a threat to their Second Amendment rights, I reviewed the majority opinion in D.C. versus Heller, in which Justice Scalia reaffirmed this right. However, he clearly affirmed the ability consistent with the Constitution for this right to be limited. This decision also states the issue of registration and licensing will not be reviewed by them, and therefore it is allowed. And what I did was copy down some statements actually from the Scalia decision, and you can find them yourself. You can get it up on the web. basically they're between pages 54 and 56. So I'm quoting now from that law. Like most rights, the right secured by the Second Amendment is not unlimited. The right was not a right to carry any weapon whatsoever, in any manner whatsoever, and for whatever purpose. Now, that was stated by Justice Scalia, not known as a raging liberal. Now I'm quoting from Scalia again. Nothing in our opinion should be taken to cast doubt on long-standing prohibitions on the possession of firearms by felons and the mentally ill, or laws forbidding the carrying of firearms in sensitive places, such as schools and government buildings, or laws imposing conditions and qualifications on the commercial sale of arms. The justice mentions...
One minute.
The justice mentions the historical tradition of prohibiting the carrying of dangerous and unusual weapons. And he mentions I'm 16 as an example of the kind of thing that he considers dangerous and unusual. So again, I would like to say, please support the SAFE Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Gottfried. Ellie Stewart, Tim Foote, James Scaly. Ellie, before you start, there are a couple of seats here along the side. If some folks want to come and sit on the benches, that would be fine. Okay, go ahead.
Hi, my name is Ellie Stewart, and I'm speaking basically in support of the SAFE Act.
If and you live? Have, where do you live?
I live in the town of Ithaca. I have for many years. We raised our two children here in Ithaca. I'm speaking mostly as a retired social worker, a school social worker. And as a result of my work, I know some areas that really most people haven't talked about. And that is, in the United States, gun violence kills close to 30,000 people a year. It's going up. Half of that is caused by suicide. It's, you know, we have the street violence in the streets, but half of that is caused by suicides. Now, yes, people do attempt suicide other ways. If they attempt other ways, the success rate is about 40%. If you use a gun, it's 97 or 98%. Now, this law is not going to keep everybody from doing suicide with guns. It is going to make it a little harder by making it illegal not to keep guns locked up. It's going to make it harder to get bullets, so high school students can't casually get bullets from their friends to use in guns and just make instantaneous decisions. Anything has got to help. People aren't really aware of this because even in Tompkins County, it's not in the papers. You'll see it suddenly, a person died suddenly. Some of those people, it's suicide. We don't know who. I know. I don't know everybody, obviously, but I know every year in this county, people in schools, students, are committing suicides. The other area that has gotten very little attention is domestic violence. This law strengthens the use of removal of guns with domestic violence. Will it take away domestic violence issues? No. It will take away the lethality of domestic violence if you don't have a gun. Lethality both for people within the home and for our first responders. Any first responder will tell you domestic violence calls are some of the most dangerous. So anything we can do to help get guns out of these households, and particularly when it's mixed with alcohol, is going to help. And also anything we can do to help get bullets out of the guns on the streets with kids are, and this law does attempt to deal with some of those issues, will be good. So that's what I wanted to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Ellie. Tim Foote, James Scaly, Laurie Konwinski.
My name is Tim Foote. I am a resident of the town of Dryden, a lifelong Tompkins County resident. I want to express my opposition to the SAFE Act. New York's civil rights law, Article 2, Section 4, says the right of the people to keep and bear arms cannot be infringed. It's even stronger than the Second Amendment, which says shall not. To infringe means to disregard or to... I've got it down here somewhere. At any rate, you can look it up, to encroach on somebody's rights or property. This law was passed in the dead of night by temporary politicians that passed a law contrary to the civil rights law, which is law. So I ask, who's breaking the law here? Are the politicians, by passing this law that counters civil rights law and the Constitution? We should probably look into that. These politicians probably also are politicians that oppose the idea of having to produce ID when voting, saying that it disenfranchises voters. It's a very simple process to show ID when you are voting, but yet this law sets up a system where just to buy ammunition, we have to go through a background check, not just to do for the firearms that we buy, but also just to buy ammunition. That seems to me more infringing and more disenfranchising than asking for people to show ID when they vote. Yet these politicians passed this law that says it cannot be infringed. Contrary to the governor's opinion that this is about deer hunting, this is not about deer hunting at all. The founders understood the condition of the human heart. They understood it because they studied history and they knew the spiritual aspects of human beings, and they know that people tend to go towards deviancy or would tend to try to control other people. They understood this. We have, since the founding of our nation, seen many in the world instances where that has happened. Hitler's Germany, there was for gun control. There was gun control in Russia, and the Soviet Union came about. China as well. The biggest killer of human beings in the 20th century was not gun control, but it was gun control instituted by governments that kept their arms and had the people defenseless. If we want to do something about people dying, we need to not take the rights of free individuals away who are not breaking the law. There's no epidemic of law-abiding citizens killing innocent people, but there is an epidemic of violence. There's an epidemic of crime. And that epidemic of crime has come about for the last 40 years because we've gotten away from the values that we used to hold as a nation. Some might call them Judeo-Christian. Some might call them another thing. But we can all agree that it's wrong to kill people. It's wrong to steal their stuff. And we've kind of poo-pooed that, and we're reaping the whirlwind. So instead of taking the rights of law-abiding gun owners away, who are not the problem, let's address the moral issue and leave the law-abiding gun owners alone, because you have nothing to fear from somebody who holds life as a sacred thing.
Thank you, Mr. Foote. James Scaly. James Scaly, Lori Konwinski, and then Diane Ferris.
Hello. My name is Jim Scaly. I reside at 940 Dryden Road in the town of Dryden. I support the governor and the New York State Legislature in the passage of the SAFE Act. While this act by itself will not necessarily reduce all gun violence, it does attempt to address the irrational behaviors that may lead to gun violence through a series of points. Tougher assault weapons bans, including those for semi-automatic pistols and long guns, stronger regulation of large purchases of ammunition and limit to magazines capacity to 7 bullets, mental health alert of individuals who have expressed behaviors thought to lead to gun violence to others or themselves, universal background checks including private gun show sales, and it keeps guns out of schools. Are we a violent society? Here are some points on the record. The U.S. has the highest gun ownership rate in the world. The Washington Post reported in December 2012 that the U.S. ranks number one in civilian gun ownership, amounting to 270 million guns, or over 89 guns per 100 citizens. The U.S. ranks 11th worldwide in gun-related deaths, 3 to 10 times higher than other developed countries. In 2011, there were 12,664 murders, 8,583 caused by firearms, Of these, handguns were used in over 6,000 events. An interesting fact is that President Nixon, in 1972, at one point argued that all handguns should be banned except for military and police. Unfortunately, he didn't propose any legislation to that effect. The National Research Council in 2004 concluded that there is no evidence that, quote, the right to carry laws reduce crime. A New England Journal of Medicine study concluded that the gun ownership is at risk factor for homicide in the home, especially where use of illicit drugs or history of physical fights are frequent. There is an increased risk of homicide by a family member or an intimate acquaintance. One study indicated that where a family buys a gun for protection kept in the house, that gun is 43 times more likely to kill a household member than to be used in self-defense. The Journal of Epidemiology in 2002 found that where firearm ownership levels are higher, a disproportionately large number of people die from suicide. Is this law a panacea for stopping all gun violence in New York? Probably not. But it makes a statement that we as a society need to come to grips with factors that promote violence.
Jim, please finish up.
The irrational notion that we are all arm ourselves will be safer has no merit. This act does nothing to abridge the Second Amendment, does not impact anyone's use of legitimate firearm for hunting. And I oppose the county legislature passing any resolution to ask for repeal of the SAFE Act. It needs time to work.
Thank you, Jim.
As a society need to make a stand against all aspects of violence in our society and the root causes. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. I've got Laurie Konwinski, Diane Ferris, and then Gary Reitmeier. Now, I'm going to have to say, please try to keep to your 3 minutes. We still have a lot of names here to go through. So let's really, and applause only lengthens the whole process, too. So let's just try to move quickly. Diane Ferris, thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Laurie Konwinski. I live here in the city of Ithaca, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you about my support for gun control. As a Catholic, I believe in the dignity of human life, and as a Catholic, I am compelled to stand on the side of the most vulnerable. In this case, the most vulnerable are those who suffer every day in our country from gun violence, victims of domestic abuse, children who die in gun accidents, youth in our inner city who are caught in the crossfire. These are the people whose rights are being trampled. I contrast that with those who so vehemently oppose sensible gun control. They seem fixated on the notion that they have the right to own any and all kinds of guns in order to overthrow the government if and when it becomes tyrannical. It seems they believe that everyone ought to be armed in order to create peace and security. This is a myopic, paranoid vision of reality, which I reject. And I think most people in Tompkins County would agree with me. Violence begets violence. More arms, bigger arms, more bullets in automatic weapons will make for more shootings and more deaths. If anyone is here to oppose gun control because they think that owning a gun will keep our government from committing crimes, I say let's talk about that. I want to stop government crimes too. And I'm quoting here from my husband, who submitted a statement saying, "I'm quite sure that guns are absolutely useless and counterproductive for that purpose. If you shoot anyone, the government will outshoot you and your own neighbors will turn you in." I also invite you to ask yourself, what did you do when they passed the Patriot Act and the Defense Authorization Act? Where were you when the government told us they were going to start torturing people, assassinating people, and spying on us without a warrant? What did you do about the prosecution of whistleblowers who exposed government waste and fraud?
1 minute.
Where were you when they started an illegal, immoral, disastrous war in Iraq that destroyed 1 million lives? If you, like me, want to stop the government from violating people's rights, let's put away the guns and start planning a practical, effective, nonviolent resistance. In January of this year, leadership in the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops joined 46 other national religious leaders in a letter to Congress urging policies that require universal background checks for guns, that require that limit civilian access to high-capacity weapons, that make gun trafficking a federal crime, and that improve access to mental health care for those prone to violence. Sensible, sensible ideas we need. I ask you to join those leaders and so many of us in supporting sensible gun control, vote against the resolution, and support the SAFE Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Quinsky. Sorry about your name. I wanted to make sure if anybody wants to, you don't get to finish what you have wanted to say, you can hand in your statement, give it to Mike or Dave in the front. Diane Ferris, Gary Reitmeier, and then Frank Barry. Is Diane here? Okay.
My name is Diane Ferris. I live in the city of Ithaca's north side, and I'm thrilled to support Governor Cuomo's SAFE Act, and I hope the Tompkins County Legislature will do the same. I have been supporting gun control from the early days of the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence. Jim Brady, a former White House press secretary, was permanently disabled in an assassination attempt on President Ronald Reagan in 1981. Since then, he and his wife, Sarah, have worked tirelessly to prevent the continuing escalation of gun violence in our country. My own involvement came after reading a piece in the paper about a daughter and friend who had come home to surprise her parents. They hid in a closet, and the dad must have heard some noise. He got his gun, opened the closet door, and shot his daughter to death. States that have the most strict gun laws report fewer deaths due to gun violence. Higher household gun ownership correlates with higher rates of homicides, suicides, and unintentional shootings. And finally, following the deaths of elementary school students and teachers on December 4th in Newtown, Connecticut, our state and national leaders have been sufficiently shocked into openly discussing how to reduce gun violence. I applaud Governor Cuomo and New York State for being the first in the nation to take decisive action and hope that the Tompkins County Legislature will vote to support New York's SAFE Act as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ferris. Before we go to the next speaker, there are about half a dozen seats in the main courtroom. If anybody is in the overflow room and would like to come in. Gary Reitmeier, Frank Barry, then Greg Cottrell. Gary Reitmeier? Gary Reitmeier? Okay, Frank Barry?
Good afternoon. I would start out by asking you not to support the resolution against the Safe Gun Act. I don't have a prepared statement, but I'll just share a couple of things. I'm appalled by the development of very, very lethal weapons. It's changed a lot in my lifetime. When I was a kid, you know, we used to play and go out, and I remember once one of the kids had a gun, and I was shot in the rump. And it was a situation where I was riding a zip line, and this younger kid was actually doing a scientific experiment. And I thought it was a yellow jacket. I didn't know what it was. And I said, you know, what happened? And he said, well, I wanted to see whether the bullet would catch up to you. And fortunately, it wasn't a kind of weapon that we have today. And I guess all I would ask is that those people who think it's so important to be able to have an assault rifle weapon in your home, what do you suggest and recommend to reduce the plague of gun violence that is killing so many people in this country?
Thank you, Mr. Barry. I've been told that we need to all, like, eat the microphone, including the folks in the back, because of the speakers in the overflow room. So please, everybody, go right up to the microphone. Greg Cottrell, Todd.
Move in. There's a few people out there looking to move
in. I've got about half a dozen seats. If anybody wants to come into the main courtroom, into the legislative chambers, just come on in. Greg Cottrell, Todd Sadler, and Judith Van Allen. Greg, it's C-O-T C-O-T-R-O-E-E-O, I think. Is that? I don't know if I'm saying that right. C-O-T-R-O-E-O. Greg Cottrell? Okay, Todd Sadler. Is Todd Sadler here? All right. Judith Van Allen? Obviously, if we miss you and you still want to speak later, after we've gone through all the papers, you can take a turn. Judith Van Allen. Okay. And after Judith, Mark Gittleson and Martin Kelly.
Yep. I'm Judith Van Allen. I live in the town of Ulysses. I signed that petition supporting the SAFE Act. I just have very brief comments. But I want to speak both as a citizen and as a longtime political scientist who's taught the Constitution. All of our amendments have been restricted in one way or another. It's a 200-plus year process. There isn't really an argument for saying we have to have absolute rights to any of them, and they're often restricted on the grounds of safety, which seems to be the most relevant issue in terms of the SAFE Act of New York. I know people have raised objections to how one particular detail of the law or another won't prevent gun violence, particularly about registrations, background checks. Even though that's true, there are, as other people have pointed out tonight, parts of it that seriously would affect things. I've certainly heard it argued that if Adam Lanza had had only 5 rounds in his clips, he would have shot many fewer children before he heard the sirens that led him to commit suicide. It might seem like, is that what we're passing laws for, to shoot fewer children? But it does matter in terms of the restrictions on assault weapons and amount of ammunition. But to me, the most important aspect of New York State passing this law is to engage in a direct way in dialogue about gun violence in our society. And it takes guts to do that, not just to demand guns, but to say we really want to engage in debate, in discussion, and take action against the levels of violence. As many speakers have pointed out, the high levels of gun ownership and gun violence in this country. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Van Allen. Mark Gittleson, Martin Kelly, and then Catherine Miller.
Good afternoon. My name is Mark Gittleson. I live in Ulysses Township, and I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to speak before you. I come here in support of the SAFE Act and against the resolution. As a nurse for 31 years, I've seen enough of the violence that results from uncontrolled guns, and much more important, I think that the SAFE Act makes sense. It's time for universal background checks. It's time to remove assault weapons from the streets. And that's basically it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gittleson. Martin Kelly, Catherine Miller, E.W. Brown.
Good evening. I'm Martin Kelly. I'm a town of Ithaca resident. And I'm a New York State certified hunter safety instructor. And I represent the Tompkins County Federation of Sportsmen's Clubs, which is a dozen sportsmen's clubs here in the county, representing hundreds of sportsmen, and many of whom couldn't, most of whom could not make it tonight, will be watching here. One thing I'd like to correct, a definition. Gentleman earlier referred to an M16 as being an assault rifle. In some ways, it is. But beyond that, it's a machine gun. Machine guns were first regulated in 1934 by the federal government. It requires a level of licensing today such that I've never known anyone who has had such a license. So the definition of assault guns has been watered down to include what sportsmen use, not just machine guns. When the courts ruled about very dangerous weapons, things like that, they were referring to wording in previous legislation referring to those licenses that needed that you needed to have a machine gun. An assault rifle is not necessarily, is probably not a machine gun. They are illegal. They have been for years for almost everybody. So, you know, please be careful of the definition here that has been thrown around and redefined and misused. So, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Kelly. Catherine Miller, E.W. Brown, and then Teresa Ault.
Good afternoon. I'm Catherine Miller. I'm a resident of Ulysses Township and a private citizen who is concerned about the people that can't vote, the little ones, the children. I'm also concerned about persons with mental illness who might be decompensating and need our support. So for those of you who don't know, anybody who's concerned about a person that may be mentally ill who is now dangerous to themselves or others as evidenced by not acting in a reality-based system, in other words, acting on delusions or becoming extremely paranoid, there is always an avenue to ask the local state troopers or sheriff to help take this person in for a psych eval. And I think the public needs more education about that. So I would be in favor of having a dialogue sometime to educate the public about it. I'm not saying that we should whisk people off the street into the hospital. I am a retired mental health nurse, and I used to do these evaluations. And no one is admitted against their wishes if they don't need to be. There are laws in place that allow an emergency room doctor and a psychiatrist permission to keep someone while they evaluate them. So that is my key contribution is education. I'm also a survivor. I lost two people in my own family from suicide. We had guns for hunting. They were not well secured, apparently, and I lost a brother and a father. If people own guns, and I'm not saying they shouldn't be allowed to, they should know how to store them, and they should be stored separately from the ammunition. I think we need to do a lot more about hunter safety and gun safety in the home. I am in favor of the SAFE Act. I think it's a good starting point. I would love to see us do a better job when we send the people we want to go to Albany and Washington. We need to be thinking about who we want to go there if we're not willing to go ourselves and be much more involved in our government. And I agree with the person earlier who said, let's get up and take action if we don't like what's happening. Let's not just be complainers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Miller. E.W. Brown, Teresa Ault, and then Bill Demo. Is Wales Brown here?
Okay. I'm Teresa Ault. I live in the city of Ithaca, and I'll presume to speak also for my husband, Wales Brown, who has gone to do some human rights work and could not stay this long. I am here to speak in favor of the SAFE Act. My complaint to Governor Cuomo, why did you wait so long? And please, hurry up on a few other things as well. For instance, universal health care, including mental health services, so that people who are having problems don't have to wait until they feel they need to shoot somebody. So, yes, I think the governor did the right thing when he pushed the SAFE Act through, and you in the legislature will be doing the right thing if you support it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ault. Bill Demo, Jeff Lauer, and I'm sorry. Seabury Goodband. Bill Demo.
Okay. Thank you. I'm here to speak in support of the New York Safe Act and against the proposed resolution opposing the act.
And first, Mr. Demo, you live, where do you
oh,
live?
Oh, I'm sorry. I live in Ithaca on Heights Court in the city of Ithaca. First off, I'd like to make clear that I'm not against guns, whether you're talking rifles, shotguns, handguns, or whatever, for things like target practice, for recreation, for self-defense, and for hunting. In fact, I'd like to see the deer hunting season extended so that we could begin to reduce the degradation of forest ecology due to the excess deer population, but that's an issue for another day. I hunted as a kid in a small town in Massachusetts, took a gun safety course sponsored by the NRA, a much different organization in those days, and was a proud possessor of my little 20-gauge shotgun. I do support the various provisions of the SAFE Act generally while acknowledging that it's not perfect. Legislation never is and will likely be needing to be tweaked over time. I most emphatically support the part of the legislation that limits the number of rounds in a magazine and don't see the limit of 7 as the law specifies as an unreasonable restriction. In fact, I think it is manifestly reasonable and not a violation of the Second Amendment to limit the ability of the crazed and the murderous to shoot a lot of people in rapid fire, often, I might add, using most lethal forms of ammunition. The fact is that every bullet that someone with an intent to do mass murder is able to get off ultimately has someone's name on it, even though it often ends up being the only link between the shooter and his anonymous victims. Adam Lanza took 5 minutes to shoot 150 bullets and kill 26 people. When you look at the list of 20 children who were killed, it's hard not to think, could any of the children have been saved if he wasn't able to get off so many shots so quickly? Would it have been 10? Would it have been 5? Maybe 2? I'd say even if it was one young life that was spared, it would have been worth it, in my opinion.
1 minute.
It may well be that such a numeric restriction on clip capacity slightly limits some form of recreational shooting. But when you put that limit restriction in a moral equation, the other side of which is the promise of a small child's life, I fail to see the countervailing logic. As for fighting fire with fire, guns with guns, and putting armed guards in schools to limit the likelihood of mass shootings, as the NRA proposes, what happens when the sick and the crazed seek a different venue out of necessity, like a library, a diner, a museum, a shopping mall, a theater? The irony is that those who are most demonstrative about losing freedoms under the Second Amendment, by their own logic, push the rest of us inevitably down the road toward tyranny in the form of a militarized public sphere in which we will all lose a much greater measure of freedom. Please support sensible gun laws and reject this resolution.
Thank you, Mr. Demo. Barry Goodband, Rob Bailey. Oh, I'm sorry, Jeff Lauer, then Rob Goodband, Barry Goodband, and Rob Bailey. Jeff Lauer.
Hi, my name is Jeff Lauer. I am a resident of Ithaca. I am a father to a young daughter, and I am a responsible gun owner. One of the things that, first let me say that I am against the SAFE Act. But one of the things that I would like to say and speak about today is that I hear a lot of people using the term assault weapon. And a speaker before me brought up the difference between weapons and automatic weapons. And one of the things that I would like to encourage you individuals, the lawmakers, and anyone, is to be able to identify what is the difference between these type of weapons. Most people look at a gun that they see in the media, and they assume machine gun, and they assume assault rifle. However, there are a lot of differences, and some of those differences are so minute that a normal hunting rifle and an assault rifle have the same functionality, with the difference of a couple of minor things, perhaps a collapsible stock or a pistol grip, things that really don't add to the lethality of the weapon. So I would ask you to try and familiarize yourself with these weapons and don't just listen to what other people are calling them. I'm sure many of you know police officers or have friends that have these weapons. I'm not even asking you to go out and shoot them, but just familiarize yourself with them and try and understand the difference between these types of weapons. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Lauer. Barry Goodman, Rob Bailey, and Mark Sacco. Barry Goodman? He's coming.
Good evening. My name is Barry Goodband. I'm a resident of Brookendale. I've been a gun owner my entire life, but I didn't come here tonight to talk about guns, ammunition, or even the Second Amendment. I came to talk about good governance. I happen to believe that this New York Safe Act is a terrible, terrible bill, poorly authored, and authored in what I call a knee-jerk response to a tragedy. I think that it is time, without a doubt, for a serious conversation about gun violence and violence in general in this country. It is not a time for partisanship. It is a time for action. But I believe that this particular action was taken without much forethought and, as I said, in a knee-jerk reaction to a tragedy. I would also like to reiterate the points made by a couple of earlier speakers concerning the ignorance of lawmakers and the public as to the function of many of these so-called assault weapons. I would urge every member of this body to speak to a military veteran, to speak to a police officer, educate yourselves about these weapons, educate your constituents about these weapons. Let's use our heads. Let's come up with something that works and will protect the rights of all of our citizens. I wanted to make maybe one other point here. I think we can do better. We can do better with this legislation. Some people said that the SAFE Act is a good jumping off point. Perhaps that's true. But we need to go back to square one with this. I applaud our legislatures for their proactiveness in this matter. It's obvious everyone will agree that something needs to be done, but we need to move more carefully, and we need to open a dialogue, a true back and forth dialogue that avoids partisanship and avoids favoritism. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Goodman. I want to say, This is a serious conversation. I'm just so grateful for everybody being so respectful and informative, and I think we are all learning a lot tonight. Rob Bailey, Mark Sacco, and Pam Geldner.
Good evening. I'm Rob Bailey, Dryden, Tompkins County. I come before you on behalf of many others that are unable to be here tonight. There are a couple hundred people probably in the other part of the courthouse here. Look around at those you see here and know there are many, many more like us. We are honest, law-abiding, patriotic citizens. We're your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, your police officers and firefighters, your soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines. We're in every facet of your community just as you are. I'm a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel with 2 overseas deployments and 24 years of service. Our firearms are used responsibly and never hurt anyone and never will. We like to have and use our firearms as we see fit without government intervention. I speak to you, to those of you who are anti-gun, don't know about guns, don't like guns, or want guns. I ask that you be fair in your decision for us. Please be objective in your decision. Let go of your preconceived beliefs and don't vote along party lines. Vote along the right line. Do what's right. You owe it to us to be objective in looking at this law. You have to acknowledge that this is a crappy law and will never do what it's intended to do. The law doesn't do anything to fix the problem of criminals and mentally deranged people from getting and having and using guns. A law will never prevent a criminal from committing a crime. The law is unfair and biased against law-abiding citizens. This law seeks to identify and restrict law-abiding citizens' firearms. Registration is the first step of a tyrannical government to eventually confiscate firearms. You can't let that happen. Please oppose the SAFE Act.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bailey. Mark Sacco, Pam Geldner, and Frank Martinez.
My name is Mark Sacco. I live in Ithaca. Actually, I live outside of Ithaca, and I'm opposed to this legislation, and I wish that someone would do something, cast your resolution, and get it revoked or get it repealed or fix it. I am a Catholic also. I've heard that before. I was a school teacher for 42 years. I'm retired. I work with young students all the time and still work with students. I teach classes up at Cornell in skeet shooting. I'm a hunter safety instructor. I got certification through the National Rifle Association because I wanted to do this the right way. I'm opposed to the way that this was passed, this midnight session that wasn't done the way it should be done. That is an affront to everybody. That's an infringement on my rights, and I don't think it's right. That should be changed. There's nothing but political showmanship trying to establish somebody else's desire to be president someday. That's what it looks like to me. It was a knee-jerk reaction. It's not proactive. It is strictly reactive. And that's not what's going to help things. Somebody asked about what we could do to save, to prevent crimes with weapons. The way to do it would be to enforce the laws we already have and put the people that have handguns or rifles illegally, put them in jail. I used to take students when I taught school to Auburn Prison to go through their youth assistance program. So I've seen what happens in prison, and I've seen what these guys did to get in there. And they talk about that to our students. It was a very interesting program. If you think about what happened in England and Australia, talk to someone who lived in England, talk to someone who lived in Australia when they gave up their guns voluntarily and see how their crime rate has skyrocketed. Something we need to consider. Other than that, it's just a question of backdoor gun registration. I think it's not right the way it was done. There should be a lot of changes to this law. I'm not a violent person. That if someone tried to hurt my family, I would defend my family. So this needs to be looked over, and you need to support this and get it changed and get it fixed. Thank you for letting me speak.
Thank you, Mr. Sacco. Pam Geldner, Frank Martinez, and Judd Kilgore.
Hello, my name is Pam Goldner, and I live in Brooktondale, New York, in the town of Dryden, Tompkins County. I strongly support Governor Cuomo's SAFE Act. I have created a petition online at signon.org, which has been signed by over 750 Tompkins County residents who also support the public safety measures reducing gun violence in the SAFE Act. Please, people sign the petition online, and it is not possible to copy and paste names, and there are no anonymous signatures. Anybody can go to signon.org and look at the names that are on there. There was a petition started by John Littlefield in opposition to the SAFE Act, which has about 750 signatures as well. And I looked on the petition, and it has 99 anonymous signatures on that petition. And there are no residents listed, so many people who signed it are not from Tompkins County. I just wanted to put that on the record. We hear stories of gun violence every day. The accidental killing of a young girl on a playground by a stray bullet, mass shootings in schools and theaters, suicides and fatal accidents devastating families and communities across the country. While the numbers of people affected by the crisis are staggering, it's almost equally as shocking to find that legislators nationwide are not doing everything in their power to prevent these killings. There are no comprehensive federal public safety laws regarding gun violence. New York State is leading the way in protecting its citizens with the top 10 strongest gun laws in the country. The states with the weakest gun laws also have the highest gun death rates, according to smartgunlaws.org. Another group promoting laws to curb gun violence is Mayors Against Illegal Guns, of which there are 130 mayors in New York State that belong to this, including our mayor, Svante Myrick. Thank you. and they have identified a number of gun laws as key in the fight against illegal gun trafficking. Require every person to acquire a permit to purchase a handgun.
1 minute.
Require firearms owners to report lost or stolen guns to law enforcement, and require law enforcement to inspect all firearms dealers. The SAFE Act does all of these things, which is why I support the SAFE Act and join the majority of New Yorkers who also support these common sense public safety laws that will save the lives of our neighbors, our children, our friends, and loved ones. Please reject the resolution to repeal. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Geldner. Frank Martinez, Judd Kilgore, and then Edward Weissman. We have at least 20 more signed up. We'll stay here as long as it takes. If anybody hasn't signed up, we can you can join after, you know, come to the microphone after the last signed up person. Frank Martinez. Frank Martinez. Is he coming? Okay. And then Judd Kilgore and Edward Weissman.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for allowing me the time to speak. Just some very brief statistics. I don't want to bore you. In the state of New York, there were 745 homicides committed, according to FBI statistics. Of those 745, five were committed by a rifle. This is from 2011, the last time these stats were compiled. Five with a rifle. Probably about 350 with hands, knives, fists, blunt objects, versus five with a rifle. Now, of the rifle class, you have the assault rifles, which is a subset of the rifle class. So even if you did the percentages, you know, you take 5 divided by 745 to come up with the percentage. 0.006 of New York homicides are committed with this item that's being, I believe, unfairly targeted here. In Herkimer, New York, the weapon used in the four homicides was a legal firearm under the SAFE Act by a deranged individual. This law did nothing to protect those innocent victims there. In terms of dangerous and unusual, I don't know. I suppose any weapon could be construed as dangerous. As far as unusual, the AR-15 is currently probably the most popular rifle, for better or for worse, in the United States. An argument could be made based on these New York stats, however, that assault rifle owners could possibly be the most responsible of gun-owning population versus this person in Herkimer. There was also a quote about the majority of New Yorkers support this. Now, that I can't speak to. All I can say is maybe the majority of New Yorkers in a faraway part of the state, Long Island, Suffolk, New York City, it represents a different culture. We choose to live here in upstate rural New York, and it's just a different world, I guess. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Martinez. Judd Kilgore, Edward Weissman, Francis Weissman.
Hi, I'm Ed Weissman. I live in the city of Ithaca.
Dr. Kilgore, just please state your name. Well, you just said that. Your name and where you live. Thank you so
Ed
much.
Weissman, city of Ithaca.
Oh.
I believe...
Excuse me. Did Judd Kilgore...
Yes, he
okay.
First?
All right. Mr. Weissman, go ahead.
Okay. I believe the New York SAFE Act should be repealed. It represents a serious overreach of governmental power and control. The U.S. Constitution and New York civil rights law specifically protect the rights of individuals to keep and bear arms, and laws cannot take the place of individual responsibility. Herb Engman, who spoke before, asks, how do we stop the killing of children? Number one, enforce the gun laws that are on the books. They're not being enforced. Prosecute those who lie on background checks. They're not being prosecuted. Don't let when people commit crimes with guns, don't let them walk, as happens all too often now. All but one of the mass shootings that have taken place in the last 50 years has taken place in what is a gun-free zone. The strict gun control laws in Chicago and Washington and other cities have not reduced gun violence. This law should be repealed so that a full conversation can take place and provisions that will help with the problem of gun violence without trampling on the rights of responsible gun owners can be adopted. The law was rushed through in the dead of night without an opportunity for reasoned discussion and debate. The process was rotten, and the law that was passed is not much better. I urge you to pass this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Weissman. Judd Kilgore, Francis Weissman, and then George Vigneault.
Ripped from yesterday's headlines. Ruled a threat to a family but allowed to keep guns. The story of a man who had been told to stay away from his wife. She was under protection, but he had a gun and he came, and through circumstances that don't always happen, he was apprehended before he could kill her. And the thing that this article goes on to say is that the reason that most states allow people who should be kept away from a spouse to have guns is the influence of the NRA and their subsidiaries. We're told not to try to demonize people that we disagree with. It's hard for me not to demonize the NRA, not that that has been a big deal here tonight, when they say the reason we need to bear arms is to keep the tyrannical government from coming and taking over all of us. We need to be ready to protect ourselves. When you look back at how much has actually been done to curb gun violence, to control guns, you see that very little has been done. And when you think about some of the people that were in the next room that were laughing at such things as, well, if it had only been five bullets at the school, only five kids would have been killed, they seemed to think that was funny. I was, in a sense, sort of frightened to hear the root
Sorry, we stopped the clock.
Thank you. I think there's been a great deal of obfuscation tonight by talking about what is an assault rifle, what is a machine gun. I think it's sort of like the definition of obscenity. We'll know it when we see it. We'll know it's an assault rifle if you can kill 25 people with one magazine. We have been waiting for so long to have something done that when people say this was passed in the middle of the night, this was rushed through, some of the things that are in that law should have been there decades ago. They should have been there after John F. Kennedy was shot and after his brother was shot. Should have been there after Columbine. Should have been there after Gabby Gifford. This is a move. It will not solve everything. And that's something that no one in my position ever expects. There is no single answer. But it is more likely that you will find some results from tightening gun laws, having background checks, than from trying to prevent mental illness. Because where is that going? Funds are being cut all the time all over the country. So even though the SAFE Act is not a panacea, it is a damn sight better than what we have now. It should be nationwide rather than just New York.
Thank you, Dr. Kilgore. Francis Weissman, George Vigneault, and Dean Shea. Francis Weissman. George Vigneault. And I don't know if I said that right.
Close enough. George Vigneault, honored to follow Judge Kilgore. I am a 30-plus year resident of the town of Ithaca, a practicing Roman Catholic, a veteran of the 101st Airborne Division, and I will be succinct. Six words should do it. Shall not be infringed. in English and in Greek, molon labe.
Thank you, Mr. Vigneault. Dean Shea, then Robert Kohut, and John Gaines. Francis Weissman, please come on. Go ahead.
Well, so short. My name is Francis Weissman. I've been living in the city of Ithaca for the past 36 years. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. That fact of human nature was thoroughly understood by our founding fathers. Having lived in a totalitarian state before the word was coined, where that totalitarian government meant to confiscate their weapons, they penned a blueprint for a people living in freedom, the Constitution of the United States. Never forget, this country would not have existed without arms. Our Constitution is not a living document, as those who want to accrue power to themselves would have us believe. Rather, it is a document about human nature, which does not change. It is a document structured to ensure that the power remains in the hands of the people. That is why we have separation of powers. That is why we have the Bill of Rights. The Second Amendment, which guarantees to the people their right to keep and bear arms, is a mechanism for retaining the other guaranteed rights. It is not about hunting or home protection or a hobby. It is about having the ability to protect our freedom, and it shall not be infringed. Further, Article 2, Paragraph 4 of the New York State Civil Rights Act, as many have said, states the right of the people to care, to keep and bear arms cannot be infringed. The SAFE Act, passed in stealth and ignorance, is both unconstitutional and in violation of state law. It is all about infringing the rights of the people. It impedes freedom. Freedom is a moral concept. There are those who would impose more and more regulations on the people, and they consistently and mistakenly assume that freedom is license. It is not. License has no rules. Personal responsibility is an integral part of true freedom. Efforts to diminish personal responsibility through regulation can be seen as nothing more or less than a full assault on the individual liberty of law-abiding citizens. It is illogical to argue, and there is no evidence which demonstrates that limiting the good guys will do anything to impede those who are intent on harming their fellows. Therefore, the New York Safety Act must be repealed in its entirety. No tinkering with its provisions can make it acceptable. Gun control is not about guns. It's about control. And the other thing you should consider is all this legislation is always incremental. If you accept this now, what will you accept next? Registration of your library books? Get real.
Thank you, Ms. Eichmann. Please, we've been here a long time. We will have a whole meeting's worth of work after you all leave, so please, I hate to say it, but if we could move more quickly if we didn't stop for applause. Dean Shea, Robert Kohut, and John Gaines. Is Dean Shea here? Dean Shea, Robert Kohut. Kohut, Robert Kohut. I saw him before.
Dean
Shea. All right, Dean Shea.
Good evening. My name is Dean Shea. I'm a resident of Lansing in Tompkins County. Let's take a look at our neighboring state, Vermont. No gun bans, no registration, no licensing for any guns. Very low crime state. An armed society is a very polite society. Our law enforcement knows that the law-abiding will obey, and the criminals will not. That's why our law enforcement wants 18 bullets in their pistol and 30-round magazines in their rifles. Thank God we are not in a gun-free zone tonight. The Sheriff's Department is here. We have guns on premises to protect us. As Joe Biden would say, these law enforcement officers who are here to protect us, they're trained shooters. Shouldn't need that many bullets. If we really want to save lives, we need to put this in perspective. 30 to 40,000 people die on the highways every year. The majority on Saturdays. A very logical thing to do would be to ban Saturday driving. This is not about hunting. It's not about target shooting. It's not about safety. It's not about death. It's about rights. It's about a privilege to defend yourself, your property, your family, your fellow citizens. Defense from those who would do us harm, both criminals and a tyrannical government, if they so choose. Common sense was not considered in this law, and this law will not keep us safer. I am in opposition to the SAFE Act. When the violent attack, whether it's a rapist or a lynch mob or the intolerant or those who would rob us, the states made it more difficult for you, for your mother, for your daughter, for your wife, for your neighbor, for the LGBT people in our community, for the minorities in our community, these people who are at risk.
1 minute.
We've made it more difficult for them to defend themselves with the one great equalizer, which is a gun. I oppose the SAFE Act. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Shea. Robert Kohut, John Gaines, and then Denver Jones. Robert Kohut, John Gaines, Denver Jones, Logan Bell, Robert Hamilton, David.
I'm Bob Hamilton. I've lived in Tompkins County since 1971. I raised my family here. I have grandkids here. We're all gun fans. We've used guns all of our life. I grew up in a high school that had a rifle club in the school. 75-80% of all the kids that went through that school belonged to the rifle club. It was run by the NRA. I graduated in 1960 from high school. I shot on the rifle team. We went to different schools. Norwich was the one place that I was really impressed with because they didn't have a rifle range. We shot in the YMCA. They put wrestling mats up on the walls, and we shot in the little steel boxes that sat on stools. Most of the people today are scared to death of guns. But if you grow up with them and understand them, there's no problem with them. Our problem today is we are not taking care of the people that are getting possession of these guns that should be incarcerated or they should be getting mental help. We've got to keep them away from our guns. We've got to keep them away from our kids and our schools. There's absolutely no respect left in the school systems. And I don't see where you think that these gun control laws are going to do anything. They haven't done anything. Chicago has got the toughest gun laws in the nation, and they got the worst crime rate. And it just goes to show you that these laws don't do a thing unless they're enforced, and nobody's enforcing them. The other thing, I've lost my train of thought. Well, I think all you guys have probably heard enough about this stuff anyway tonight, so thank you for letting me speak, and I'll get out of here. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Denver Jones, Logan Bell.
Hi, good evening. My name is Logan Bell, and I'm a resident of Trumansburg, New York. I'm urging all members of the Tompkins County Legislature to support Resolution 4058 opposing the New York Secure Ammunitions and Firearms Enforcement Act of 2013. My experience as a Marine Corps veteran gives me a practical knowledge of weapons affected by these laws. Serving in the military, I took an oath creating a lifetime commitment to defend our cherished freedoms guaranteed by the Bill of Rights. The truth is, this terrible law, which was passed in the middle of the night, is a grave threat to the safety of every man, woman, and child in New York State. By infringing on the Second Amendment of the U.S. Constitution, the SAFE Act actually empowers a criminal element of sociopaths that crave power over other humans. Evil exists in the world and seeks victims that have no ability to fight back. The only way for free and decent people of goodwill to fight back is to possess weapons of equal firepower to the would-be oppressors. This law was not, as some assert, simply a knee-jerk reaction to a tragedy, but more, a carefully contrived and timed assault on liberty by political elitists to exploit a terrible tragedy. Senator Dianne Feinstein has admitted that she has had her federal assault weapons ban waiting for the right moment to be introduced, and I feel Governor Cuomo has been waiting for that same opportunity. The real goal of this agenda is to cripple the ability of the largest and most effective bulwark to tyranny in the world, the highly armed U.S. public. I would like to say that I hope and pray that we as a society can come together to find ways to prevent anything like what happened in Newtown, Connecticut from ever happening again. I have a few brief suggestions. Our government must stop endorsing and committing senseless acts of violence on all levels. The lives of children killed by drone strikes in Yemen, Pakistan, and Afghanistan are no less precious than the lives of our own children. Recently, even a 16-year-old American was killed in Yemen by a drone strike with no trial or due process.
1 minute.
Why do we allow such senseless overregulating of our citizens when our government continues to go wild with power? When life is made cheap, we all lose. The method in which the SAFE Act was passed is really only a symptom of the systemic corruption and abuse of power practiced by our government, and Tompkins County is no exception. Thousands of our tax dollars were set aside in December to help the city of Ithaca buy guns from the public to be cut up and melted down. This action, like the SAFE Act that was passed weeks later, made us less safe and was a complete waste of public funds. If the true goal is public safety, then the legislature should focus on repealing the SAFE Act and passing laws that allow law-abiding citizens more freedom to protect themselves and their families. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bell. David Norte, Bill Goodman, and Pat Leary.
I'm David Nort. I live in McLean. I am opposed to the SAFE Act. I'll just go through some bullet points I wrote down. Number one, this is a civil rights issue. I know for a lot of people who live around Tompkins County, maybe it doesn't feel like that to them because they see a lot of people here with plaid on, know they're pretty conservative. You don't own guns, so it doesn't really affect you. What do I care? Just the rednecks out in the country own them. This is a civil rights issue. Nothing less than that. It's rule number two. I shouldn't have to argue rule number two. It's number two, not ten. The reason why there's so many people here tonight, how do I get this thing out? This is bugging me. Good enough? Well, I get sick of bending over. The reason why there's so many people here tonight, we're nervous. We're scared. Governor Cuomo said in an interview, confiscation. How do you parse that word? He did. It's not an internet conspiracy. He said possible confiscation. The president, in one of his 19 executive orders, wants to empower your doctor to ask you what guns you have in your home and then to have to report them to some agency. Parse that. The only thing that laws like this to increase public safety do? Limit public freedom and choice, and make politicians feel good about themselves. Ooh, look what we did. We're protecting society. Look at us. Well, I got elected, I got to do something. No, you don't. You have to protect my freedoms. I don't need case law told to me. You can tell me every single case law. Thank you. It's the Second Amendment. I can do case law all day long with you, too. I just clean carpet. I'm not a lawyer. It's a civil rights issue. What you're going to find, we're probably going to lose here. I'm a realist. You're going to find in the next year, in the next couple years, thousands of more New Yorkers leaving. I don't have to argue the Second Amendment. It's ridiculous. I'll leave. I know some of you will probably be happy because I'm different than you. I have guns. But we're probably just going to start leaving. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Norton. Bill Goodman, Pat Leary, and Mike Terwilliger. Bill Goodman, Pat Leary, Mike Terwilliger.
I'm Denver Jones. I'm from Cander. I've worked in this county for well over 30 years. I've had a business in this county for well over 20 years, and I'm here to have my First Amendment say. I was going to say something else originally, but I was absolutely appalled at some of the comments that in this city of enlightenment that there's so little understanding of history. Our founding fathers wanted every able person to have a gun. That was our way of keeping the peace, of keeping other countries or anyone else from taking away our liberties. They set up a library system, which apparently now is used more not for history, but for the wimpy kid or something else. It's nice to learn to read, but our founding fathers didn't go to school in most cases. They got taught by their parents. They got taught history by their parents. They got taught philosophy, and they were expected to learn that well. And now we come to the issue of gun control. What are we doing here? We've got a governor that's out of control. We can look back to the 70s when a certain president was doing somewhat similar things and eventually had to resign. We can't continue to be polarized in, well, it's them or us. We have to look at the whole situation, and we have to look at history. That is our crystal ball. It's happened before. It'll continue to happen if we don't look at what happened in the past. We have all, you have taken an oath of office. Many of us here have taken an oath, whether recently or many decades ago, to protect and defend the Constitution. The Constitution specifically states will not be infringed. There is a definite reason for that. The New York State Constitution has been violated purposely and willingly to pass this law without any input from anyone else from outside the legislature. And I think it's got to be repealed. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. We've got Robert Kohut, John Gaines. I'm going to read all the names that we passed over. Todd Sadler, Greg Cottrell, Thomas Clowerty, and Gary Reitmeier. If any of those folks are still here or come back, please come to the microphone. Bill Goodman, Pat Leary, Mike Terwilliger, Sue Terwilliger, Timothy Gorales.
Yeah. Okay. Hi, my name is Mike Terwilliger. I live in Tompkins County and have for all of my 58 years. So I've written down what I would like to say. I'm from Brooktondale. Please don't legislate away my ability to protect myself or my family. According to the FBI, the majority of violent crimes, around 70%, are committed by repeat offenders. Why are they released back into our society to commit more murders, to burglarize homes, to commit more rapes, and to beat up people and to rob them? The judicial court system is a revolving door that forces law-abiding citizens to live in fear of being attacked, robbed, or even killed when going to a restaurant, a grocery store, a department store, or a shopping mall. Those elected to office would serve their communities better by directing their efforts and legislation to fixing the revolving door judicial system. Como Safe Act, assault weapons ban, gun control bill will not prevent mass shootings or any shootings. So-called assault weapons are used in less than 2% of firearms crimes. Further, criminals, the mentally ill, and those intent on harming people don't submit to background checks, and they won't register their guns. Como's bill will place more restrictions on law-abiding people who want to protect themselves and their families. According to the FBI and other police agencies' data, law-abiding citizens use a firearm 2 million times on average annually to protect themselves and to stop or to prevent a crime from being committed. When you disarm those obeying the law, then those who choose not to will possess guns and use them to prey on neighborhoods and communities. The police cannot be everywhere and cannot prevent all crimes from happening. They will, however, make out a report after a crime has been committed and file it away. I'm sorry, that doesn't make me feel protected or safe. Where concealed carry weapon laws are less restrictive, less intrusive, violent crime rates have been reduced. Responsible, law-abiding citizens who are armed are the best deterrent to violent crime. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Twilliger. Sue Twilliger, then Timothy Gonzalez, and Robert Cook.
Hi, I'm Sue Terwilliger, no relation to Mike. Hey, Mike. But I'm from the town of Ithaca, was born here. And very quickly, I just want to address, a lot of people are talking about constitutionality, the Second Amendment. And very quickly, I just want to say that the Founding Fathers specifically formed the militias with the intent not of allowing and wanted citizens to be armed so that they could have citizen militias as opposed to having a standing army, because they felt in the peacetime having a standing army was a waste of money for a, you know, young, strapped financially government, and that was their intention with that. The militias were specifically formed to help the government put down rebellions, not to incentivize rebellion or help people keep the government in line. You can look up the Shays Rebellion and the Whiskey Rebellion, especially the Whiskey Rebellion. And also the issue, so just wanted to touch on that, also the idea that shall not be infringed. All of our rights have limits, all of our rights, all of our constitutional rights. You cannot yell fire in a crowded theater. So our freedom of speech has some limits based on what could be harmful to other people. The SAFE Act doesn't say you cannot have guns. It says some limits on what type of guns, the capacity of clips. These are limits that are reasonable. The point of this law is deterrence. Due to background checks, this law makes it harder for criminals or mentally ill people to get guns and high-capacity clips. Yes, it makes hassles for lawful citizens who are gun owners. This is a bummer. However, aren't most of us willing to endure a hassle if it could save a life?
1 minute.
We all have to pass a driver's test to get a driver's license. We all have to keep our driver's license in good stead. If we get too many violations, we lose it. When seatbelts were first made a legal requirement, many people objected to the hassle. But as people realized that seatbelts could save lives, seatbelts gained acceptance. Surely it's worth a little hassle on the part of law-abiding gun owners to make it so much harder for those who won't pass a background check to get a gun or get a high-capacity clip. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Williger. We've got Timothy Gonzalez, Robert Cook, and Amy Scott.
Hi, my name is Tim Gonzalez from Lansing, New York. I'd just like to say right now I oppose the SAFE Act. I don't believe that it was just in how our governor passed a law in the dead of night. I believe that that law should have been brought forward to the people. Isn't that what this country was founded on? The people? Shouldn't the people have a voice in how the law should be enacted? I mean, some people say that, you know, younger kids can't own guns, okay? Well, I remember 19 a lot differently than some people. I was a Marine, served from 2006 to 2010. Did two tours to Iraq. All right, what I'd just like to say is that we should get rid of the gun ban. Yes, do background checks. I mean, that's already what's been put in place, is a background check. I mean, quit going after law-abiding citizens. Law-abiding citizens aren't the ones committing the crimes. They're the ones that own the guns. Go after the back alley stuff. The people that are buying guns on the street and going and doing mass shootings, or people that are robbing houses and going and doing the mass shootings. If somebody wants to commit a crime, just banning a gun is simply not going to stop the crime from being committed. I mean, Timothy McVeigh, right there. He didn't use a gun. What happened at Sandy Hook is appalling to me, honestly. That many young people being killed shouldn't have happened. But if there was people that could have seen this and stopped it, you know, I mean, he took the guns from his mother. He never bought them.
1 minute.
I'm just trying to say, think when you're making your laws. You know, get a well-informed decision on what's being enacted, what you guys want to pass. Just get yourselves informed. Just don't make a knee-jerk reaction. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Mr. Gonzalez. Robert Cook, Amy Scott, Laura Spada.
Hello, I'm Robert Cook from Newfield. The topic's changed so many times, I'm just going to have to shoot from the hip. A little gun humor for you. First, I want to put some people at ease. Machine guns are already illegal. We already have to have pistol permits. They're not putting a ban on you don't have to apply for a permit for a high-capacity clip. They're legalizing them, anything over 7 shots. The reason I'm against the New York SAFE Act is it does nothing to prevent Adam Lanza from doing the same exact thing. Okay? Adam Lanza shot 150 shots through 4 pistols. He had to put more clips in. He had to reload. This 7-round ban will not stop anything. Adam Lanza had an assault weapon in his trunk. Less than 3% of gun crimes in America are done by assault weapons. We're outlawing assault weapons. We had an assault weapon ban that had no effect for over 10 years, or was it 15 years? Just 10. We're repeating our same mistakes. I'm all for saving children. But Adam Lanza proved that you can reload a gun and shoot more people. 7 rounds makes no difference whatsoever. Most gun clips hold 10. You're reducing it by 3 shots before he has to reload. He shot 150 times. He had 4 guns with 10-round clips. That's simple math. It doesn't achieve anything. A background check on ammunition, where you can buy 50 to 500 rounds in one box, doesn't achieve anything. He had enough rounds by buying one brick, one purchase, which a background check that he would have passed, to shoot all his rounds and have some left over.
1 minute.
This, I'm against any legislation that doesn't serve a purpose. And the only purpose that this legislation serves is a Band-Aid on a hemorrhaging society. I'm for gun training. I'm for background checks, which are already in place. Let me reiterate that. On assault weapons, on pistols, on shotguns, on 22s, on single shotguns. Fully automatic guns are already illegal. Pistol permits are already in place. But this legislation serves no purpose, and it's just a restriction of Second Amendment rights. Thank you.
Thank you. Amy Scott.
One last thing. Hundreds of years ago in our government, they cried out, no taxation without representation. Who's going to be represented on this? Okay? I think it's clear what the people are saying. It's been opposed in all but three. Thank you.
Amy Scott, Laura Spada, and Dr. Herb Masser.
Hi there. Okay. Hi there. I'd like to introduce myself real quick. My name is Amy Scott. I'm from the Freeville area, lifelong Tompkins County resident. I'm an Army veteran as well as the founder of the Tompkins Liberty Coalition, which were the group that collected over 1,700 signatures and gave them to the Public Safety Committee. I wanted to talk to you today. The other side will say things like that they believe gun control work. They acknowledge that drug control doesn't work. How is gun control going to work when we know that controlling things that, like drugs, doesn't work. It doesn't reduce crime. You know, how many lawful gun owners commit crimes? Very, very few. What we're dealing with here is people who commit crimes. They're illegal. You know, they don't own them legally, everything like that. They're... Sorry about that. Let's take a look at, you know, places that have strict gun laws, like they mentioned with Chicago. Chicago has the most gun laws with the most violence. You take a look at some place like Texas. Guess what? Very lax gun laws, very little violence, because the criminals know that they go up and they try to harm somebody, that person 99% likely to have a gun on them and be able to stand and fight and keep themselves from being harmed, because ultimately, as they said before, the gun is a great equalizer in keeping ourselves safe, especially when you look at somebody small like me. You know, founding fathers, they talk about liberty and security, that if you're willing to give up liberty, you don't deserve liberty or security. They knew what would happen when we started infringing upon our constitutional rights, and that we need to hold these things dear to us. And, you know, one last thing I'll say. The legislatures in Albany, they didn't read this bill. They had 15 minutes. When Governor Cuomo said, hey, we're doing this, they had 15 minutes to go through. That bill was 40, 50 pages. How can you read 40, 50 pages in the duration of 15 minutes? You can't. This was uninformed. This is not going to do anything to protect people. Those criminals, guess what? They're going to get them off the streets, everything like that. We need to focus on, you know, getting them, you know, people who are selling them illegally, not lawful gun owners, because we're not the ones out committing crimes. We're not the ones giving our guns to people that are going to hurt people. And that's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. Laura Spada, Dr. Herb Masser, Kevin Wozkowski.
Good afternoon. I'm Laurie Spada. I'm from Brooktondale. And I just have to tell you that my gun is really well trained. It's never shot anyone. It's never jumped out of the safe. It's never jumped out of my pocket. I have a harder time with my dog than I do my gun. And I've listened to a lot of people about background checks. I had to go through a severe background check before I got my pistol permit. I'm registered with the FBI. I've bought more than one gun. I've always had a background check. Yeah, I haven't had to do a background check yet for ammunition, but you don't have to. But I don't think that by passing all these laws for law-abiding citizens, that you should have to go through a lot of the hoops. We are law-abiding citizens. When the courts decide to convict people that actually have a gun problem, we're not convicting them. I can't tell you how many times that people that are hunting illegally get to keep their gun. I had it happen at the bottom of my property. They shot a deer illegally. the guy got a year of suspension of his deer hunting license. The day after the year suspension was up, he went and did it again. I mean, if the courts aren't going to look at gun problems and correct it in the court, I don't think law-abiding citizens should have to lose their right because of criminals. The law-abiding citizens won't have guns, and the criminals will. And Chicago happens to be a big issue. If everybody reads the news, they have the most severe gun laws in the United States. The crime rate is higher there than anywhere else. They're not supposed to have guns. Where are they coming from? And they're illegal. But I don't think taking the law from legal citizens should actually be going on. And I think this county should support not having the ban go through. And it was done, a lot of us citizens feel, illegally, and it's just another system of the justice system not paying attention. So, like I said, my gun is trained better apparently than my puppy because she's still biting me. So, please oppose this law.
Thank you, Ms. Spada. I have 10 more people signed up. Dr. Herb Masser, Kevin Wiskowski, and Bill Lauer.
I'm Dr. Herb Masser. I'm a licensed social worker. I've been in the mental health field for over 30 years. I know how the criminal mind thinks. I've dealt a lot with a criminal with a sociopathic personality disorder. The sociopathic personality disorder says the rules do not count for them. You can pass whatever bills you want. You can pass whatever laws you want. They don't count for them. Learn from history. Years ago, we passed laws in this country saying you cannot possess or use alcohol. Did that stop the possession or use of alcohol? There was ships all up and down the East Coast waiting for that law to be passed. And when the moment that law was passed, they were jumping for joy. They brought those ships in, and they started making a fortune. You pass laws saying we cannot have certain firearms. Right now, they're lining up their suppliers. They're waiting for that law to get passed. And what's going to happen is some well-intentioned people are going to cause us to be defenseless because the only person going to buy those guns are the criminals. They are going to have them. They're going to have a 30 clip, a 50 clip, a 100 clip. But you're telling me I can only have a 7 clip to defend my family. So think about this tonight. Would you put a sign in your yard that says this house is protected by called a 911. It's a gun-free home. I'll put a sign in my yard saying my home is protected by Smith & Wesson. Then we call 911. And which one of us is going to sleep better? The criminal's not going to come after me if I have a firearm. I've heard some of the most naive arguments here tonight. Let's see, right now it's 8 o'clock. Would you go to Chicago right now and walk down the streets of Chicago? Right now, New York City, Washington, D.C., where the strongest gun laws are, I challenge you, go walk down those streets right now, 8 o'clock at night. If you survive it, go to Texas. Walk down the streets in Texas. Because they don't know if you're armed or not. They're not going to bother you. But they will come after you in Ithaca, New York. Because they know you're not armed. The guy who shot up that school or that movie theater in, Colorado? There was 7 movie theaters in that town. One was a gun-free zone. Guess where he went? He went to the gun-free zone. He knew there would be nobody in that building with a gun. And you want to do that here? Why would you do that to us? Why would you disarm us knowing that they're going to have their weapons? If you vote for this, you're voting against us. And we will not forget it on Election Day.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Masser. Kevin Wiskowski, Bill Lauer, and Rick Bryant. Kevin Wiskowski, Bill Lauer, and Rick Bryant.
My name is Kevin Wiskowski, and I'm from Lansing, New York. I lived there for almost a year, and I formerly lived in Danby for the past 13 years or so. Anyways, I came here today in opposition to the New York Safe Act. We can sit here and argue the statistics back and forth. We can show you statistics for, we can show you statistics against. I brought a whole bunch of statistics here, and I listened to everyone, and everyone can refute everyone else's statistics. That's the way math is. You can do that quite often. But anyways, I wanted to just tell you that sometimes there are no statistics present for some actions and stuff that happens. I told my story last Monday to the public safety meeting where, you know, I had a gun. I went out pretty darn sure someone did try to break into my wife's car. She called 911. I went looking for whoever was there. I know when the state troopers arrived, they thought, okay, maybe he was, you know, crazy seeing things or whatever. However, 2 weeks later, my wife calls me, I'm away, and says, Kevin, there were 30 to 35 houses, garages, and cars broken into up and down the road. Beside us, on both sides, across from us, but not our house. And, you know, that just kind of shows that, guns do deter violence, but there's no do deter crime, but there's no statistic for that. The other thing is, what I have a problem with is the round capacity of law-abiding citizens. At the time, I had a 9mm pistol, 15-round clip. I went out. Would I have dared to go out with a single shot or double barrel shotgun or even a 7-round? No, I would not have. Okay. And 2 weeks later, when I was not home, perhaps my house would have been broken into also.
A minute.
I have a problem with law-abiding citizens who paid fair market value and are not able to pass their property down to their sons or daughters. Okay? They're to be turned over to the state of New York. Okay? I really don't see how the New York Safe Act can actually make us feel any safer. If you say you feel safer today than you did on January 13th, I would like to ask you why and where you're living. I would like to say that criminals really don't care. They're going to break the laws regardless. We saw that with Adam Lanza. The other thing, coming out today, many of Adam Lanza's magazines actually had several rounds left in them. He learned quickly through watching movies and video games to reload his pistols very quickly. Under Andrew Cuomo, the movie industry has his okay to keep creating violent movies and shows as long as they keep the money coming into New York City. And probably New York State too. And I have to say that in the courtroom that I came from where I sat, there's many, many people sitting there.
Please finish up.
Some of them are shy, and some of them, feel uncomfortable to speak in public because they're not used to that. And they may not choose to speak today, but their voices will definitely be heard when we vote in the upcoming elections.
Thank you, Ms. Waraskowski. Your time's up. Bill Lauer, Rick Bryant, Diana Bryant.
Thank you. My name is Bill Lauer. I'm a lifelong resident from Ithaca, New York, business owner here in the city of Ithaca as well. I would ask that you would repeal the SAFE Act, and let me rephrase that. I call it the TAKE Act, the taking the rights away from law-abiding citizens that purchased weapons, magazines, legally, and now making them criminals. If you read the SAFE Act, there is a lot for taking away for the law-abiding citizens, but very few clauses in there for the criminals. Now, we have to do something. We cannot fix psychopaths, but we can incarcerate them. We can have a system that works. And I want you to know that you think about what's going on in our society today. There's a moral decay. They aren't getting it in the homes. The schools can't teach it, and you can't legislate it. So there needs to be personal responsibility. So as children, I've got two children of my own. I don't want to see any harm come to any children. If that is the case, if you're voting to keep the SAFE Act to help children, then you better start legislating cars because they kill far more children than any gun. Secondly, the law violates our civil rights, and you've heard it, the Second Amendment. I'm not going to go into that. But any law that that politicians do not read and slam it in at the 11th hour, something needs to be done here. Secondly, law-abiding citizens criminals and not enforcing laws of current laws. We think of just recently, we all heard about the sex offender that was found with pornographic material, and he was arrested in Syracuse where he killed a 47-year-old woman and raped a 10-year-old girl. Something needs to change, and it's going to have to start in our court systems by enforcing these laws. You have a responsibility as well to read the law, to know what you're voting for.
1 minute.
Lastly, we can talk about Washington, D.C. We can talk about Chicago, Illinois. We can talk about New York City. We can talk about Newtown, Connecticut, where Connecticut had one of the toughest gun laws. It didn't save those children, did it? Not a one. So I ask you to have a healthy debate about this law, not ram-jamming things through, but getting all sides together to work something out. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Lauer. Rick Bryant, Diana Bryant, and Ken Tillipaw.
Hi, I'm Rick Bryant. I live in Newfield, New York. As far as I'm here to ask you to oppose the SAFE Act, because if nothing more, just the way it was voted on, as far as the three-day waiting period, they knew what they were doing there, pushing it through. That's why it was done late at night. And this is against, I don't care if you're a gun owner or you don't like guns or whatever, as far as they start there, look in New York City. They tried to ban size drinks that you can have. Their object is take a little bit at a time. Okay, they say they're not taking our guns. They're not bothering the Second Amendment. We just want a little bit here. Well, guess what? In 6 months, now they're going to want a little bit more. And then a little bit more. And before you know it, your Second Amendment is gone. And then what are they going to start on? The First Amendment? Okay, now you can't speak out against your government. But they're just going to take a little bit of that until you get arrested for saying something, like in Russia. As far as it's all about how they pass this bill, as far as without any regard to what the people in New York State really want. As far as if we don't ask them to repeal this bill and sit down intelligently and come up with something, then as far as we're wasting our time living in New York State. I'm just saying, as far as, you know, they do this in Washington, D.C. All Cuomo did was say, hey, they're getting away with it down there. I'm gonna take a gamble and push it up here. Please, don't go along with this just because the way it was put in place. Join the rest of the green in New York State. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bryant. Diana Bryant, Ken Tillipaw, and then Robert McCarthy. Diana Bryant? Diana Bryant. Ken Tillipaw? Ken Tillipaw? Robert McCarthy?
Hello, everyone. My name is Robert McCarthy. I am a Tompkins County resident. I'd like to thank the Tompkins County Public Safety Committee for having us. I'm unprepared for class, so I'm going to read verbatim. I vehemently oppose the SAFE Act. We live in a facts and statistics-based society. We use numbers, statistics, and logical reasoning to solve everyday problems. But instead of our state legislators using a scientific approach based on statistical analysis, probabilities, and logical reasoning, they chose to vote with fear, overreaching arbitration, impulse, and emotion. Folks, this is a criminal use of our taxpayers' money. It is a criminally negligent use of our taxpayers' money. This problem isn't about guns. It is about legislators who don't know the difference between a semi-automatic and fully automatic firearm, a clip or a magazine. They don't know the difference between a thumb hole and a buttstock. Yet despite their lack of education and expertise in this field of discussion, they are privileged and paid by us to enact laws that affect us all. I want to remind tonight the hardworking, tax-paying citizens of New York State that we still have one legal weapon left, our vote. I urge you, come next election, to surgically isolate those legislators who refuse to uphold the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, and the human rights of we the people, and hastily remove them from office, one vote at a time. Thank you.
Thank you. Did I see Diana Bryant? Okay. And then Adam Scott, Skip Townsend, and Carl Schimmelfing. Okay.
My name is Diana Bryant. I'm from Newfield. And I just have a few points here that I'd like to bring up. One, the Supreme Court has said that the police are not here to protect us, something to keep in mind when we think of this law. Two, Dr. Kilgore had made a point to mention laughs in the other room when if there had been five shots fired, it would have only been five children dead. I think he missed the point of why the laughter. If we're limited to seven shots, that doesn't mean that every criminal is going to say, well, I can only put seven shots in this gun and then I can go out and kill seven people. They're not going to follow the law. And the other thing is that as far as the amendments, First Amendment being freedom of speech, we have not banned the word fire. We can only use the word in a proper manner. We can't walk into a crowded theater, yell fire. It's illegal. But they did not ban the law, the word fire. In banning certain guns or whatever, I think that you're infringing upon the right. I think that guns should be allowed, and it becomes unlawful when you use them in an unlawful manner, as the word fire. And one last thing I'd like to say is, for no other reason, as others have mentioned, is how the bill was put into place. I would just hope that our lawmakers in Albany won't decide, as our economy slides downhill in New York State, that they go behind closed doors and come up with legislation to say, you know, the population is mainly in the city, and that's who we need to look out for because that's where we get our votes. So we're going to allow fracking throughout New York State, except the Catskills, because that's their watershed. And then they throw it out there, get it pushed through without anyone reading what that is. If for that alone, I ask you to please join the rest of the state in asking to repeal this law. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Bryant. Adam Scott, Skip Townsend, and Carl Schimmelfing. Adam Scott.
Thank you. My name is Adam Scott. I live in Groton. A couple points. I'd like to state, and of course we have more gun violence than a lot of places because we have guns. But our violent crime is lower than most places. When the country wanted to curb DWI, we didn't ban alcohol. We didn't ban cars. We made people that drove drunk pay a hefty penalty. We don't let them out of jail. Right now, a lot of criminals get a slap on the hand. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that fella in Ithaca that fired three shots in the Commons, hitting a man once, had a bail set of $10,000. Yet if I violate copyright law in with a movie, I have a potential $250,000 fine and 5 years in jail. We're really looking at this the wrong way. Guns are but a tool. Not assault rifles. If someone were to hit me in the head with a waffle iron, it's not an assault waffle iron. Somebody assaulted me, and it's just a tool that people use. Like I said, we do have gun violence in this country because we have guns. The violence would be much worse if citizens didn't have guns and had no means to protect ourselves. I'd just like to finish. We need to not go after the law-abiding citizens. Punish the criminals. Keep them in jail. Thank you.
Thank you. Skip Townsend and Carl Schimmelfing, and that's all who've signed up.
Hello, my name is Skip Townsend, and I live in Newfield. First, I just want to start off and say my family has lived in this area for generations, I think around six or seven. My grandfather worked for the Ithaca Police Department. His name was Edwin Townsend. My father served in the military. He was in the Marine Corps. I have a lot of family that served in law enforcement and a lot that have served in the military. And I was raised around guns, and I know that guns have the potential to kill. They have the potential to be a lot of things in the wrong hands. In the right hands, they have the potential to do a lot of good. They have the potential to protect people. And I strongly oppose the New York Safe Act for a lot of reasons. And for the main reason that it's illegal. The New York Safe Act does not comply with federal laws, does not comply with New York state laws. And I'd like to read off some case law. This is Marbury versus Madison, 5 U.S. 137. The Constitution of these United States is the supreme law of the land. Any law that is repugnant to the Constitution is null and void of law. This is Norton v. Shelby County, 118 U.S. 425. An unconstitutional act is not law. It confers to no rights, it imposes no duties, affords no protection, it creates no office. It is in legal contemplation as inoperative as though it had never been passed. This is Murdoch versus Pennsylvania, 319 U.S., 105. No state shall convert liberty into a privilege, license it, and attach a fee to it, like my pistol permit that I paid $107 for, had to get a FBI background check done for all of my pistol permits, I'm sorry. And
1 minute.
Lastly, Shuttlesworth versus Birmingham, Alabama, 373 U.S. 262. If the state converts a liberty into a privilege, the citizen can engage in the right with impunity. And lastly, I just want to say that in Newtown, it wasn't a gun issue. It was an irresponsible gun owner that reflects badly on the gun community, and it was a very sick person that did it. And not all gun owners are sick people. Most of us are very responsible people. That is all.
Thank you, Mr. Townsend. Carl Schimmelfing.
Hi, and good evening, everybody, and thank you for coming, and thank you for having us. My name is Carl Schimmelfing. I'm a Lansing resident. I am also a United States Marine. We don't end up ever not being one. We take an oath. We serve the country, and in the fine print in the contract that we signed, we can be called back up to 20 years after our last date in service. I am just going to respond to a couple of things that was pointed out to me during the course of this whole entire dog and pony show, I guess. But a young lady asked, where were you when the Patriot Act was being passed? And my question and my answer to her question was, I was in Iraq liberating 20-plus million people from a tyrant, kind of like what we have in our office today. I am vehemently opposed to the New York, I call it Unsafe Act, which was hashed out and hammered out and passed by a cowardly person late in the night. His name is Andrew Cuomo, which are the actions of tyrants. And I'm not here to coddle you. I'm not here to talk up to you, you know, do the whole psychological talking you up, talking you down. We can do this one of two ways. We can do this through diplomacy, and you can hear the voice and the will of the people and do what, one, we elected you and pay you to do. Or two, we can do it through revolt, plain and simple. This country is on a turning point. It has been divided at every single point. Race, color, creed, religion, you name it. Class warfare of all sorts. My entire spiel tonight is get it together. Let's start talking about the truth. You want to talk about education, but not one single one of our schools teach children about proper weapons maintenance, handling, safety storage, what to do with them, and when to do it. None of that's taught anymore.
1 minute.
Oh, thank you. And another thing, you want to sit there and talk about the sanctity of human lives and children? Stop aborting 1.2 million babies a year and start taking care of your children, your responsibility. Start teaching your children how to be proper parents and start there in the home first. Thank you and have a good evening.
Thank you. That is the last person who's signed up. Is there anyone else who'd like to speak? I hope people in the other room, if there's anybody else who'd like to speak, come on in and go. Somebody who hasn't spoken already. So go ahead and tell us your name and where you live.
Hi, my name's Ken Tillipaw. I live in Lansing, New York. I've been a citizen of Tompkins County for my entire life. I have gone to school, so I'm very well educated. I'm working on my third degree right now in criminal justice. So I've looked at criminal minds a lot. And one thing that I think is very important to look at versus putting restrictions on people for their firearms is to look at the criminals. They can get guns from pretty much anywhere. They can buy them from their gang members, which are pretty much their family. They're not afraid to break the laws. I've done very numerous amount of papers looking at the criminal behavior, and I have seen that many studies and people, correction officers, have talked to criminals, and they say that they like this act because it is helping them. They're not afraid of going into certain homes now because they know that they might only have two rounds in their double-barrel shotgun to fire at them and might not be trained to get them, but they have assault weapons or automatic pistols. So I think this law shouldn't go into effect because it can help out, or it won't help out. And also, I think that in schools and other organizations should help train the younger generation how to respect firearms and instead of taking them away, because if you're trained to respect them, then you will not take it out, play with it, think it's a toy. You won't think it's like a BB gun or something. You'll know that it can cause damage. Like, I was shown that it can cause damage when I learned to hunt. Like, I hunt. I don't like taking lives. I don't even like taking lives of the animals, but I hunt so I can eat, and it helps put food on my table for a lot cheaper. And one thing that helped me when I was going to school was we had a bow and arrow class in my gym class, and that my teacher showed me how to handle the bow, how to hold it and shoot that properly around fellow students and not fling it around and not abuse it in any way, which it's not a firearm, but it's one step that helped out. And currently, at my old school of Lansing, they don't do the bow and arrow training anymore, which I think would help out if schools around here still had things like that to help. Like, they didn't use high-powered bows, but even the low-powered bows help show the fundamentals of how to use them. So that's my main point, that you should educate the youth and help out that way versus taking away more rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tillipaw. I've got Bruce Murray signed up. And if anybody in the back in the other room wants to come to the microphone, please come into the main courtroom and to the chambers. We have room in here for you now. Mr. Murray.
Oh, yeah. My name is Bruce Murray. I'm from Brooktondale, New York, Town, Caroline. And I appreciate the chance to talk in front of you. Like everybody else, I believe education is where we need to start. When I was young, I learned to hunt and fish. But when I also learned at the same time, when I took the life of something, I learned to weigh it, whether it was worth it or whether I would do it again. We have completely lost that in this society. The other thing, and the only one thing I really need to say to the legislators is if you look at this map and look at the counties that are on this map, there were 1,600 people with signatures from around here, and there's many, many more. Look at the number of people who oppose this SAFE Act, and just think of the number of people in this state that you are going to make criminals because of this act with that many people against it.
Thank you, Mr. Murray. Would anyone else like to address the legislature?
There's one more.
Hi. My name is Christine O'Brien. I live in Danby. I've been in Tompkins County for 17 years. I'm probably one of the most non-political people there is. I am not a gun owner. And I felt compelled to come to listen to this tonight, and just in listening to everybody speak, I felt compelled to come up and speak. So I just ask you to please repeal the SAFE Act due to the manner in which this was passed. There's a lot of feeling on what's happening out there, and it just feels like we're just doing a knee-jerk reaction to a very unfortunate situation that's been happening in this country. Just ask you to consider that. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we're going to take a break. Is there anyone else who has not spoken?
Point of clarification.
We can't, we don't engage in the debate here.
I'm not debating.
Okay.
Clarify one point without even coming up there. It is not illegal to yell fire in a crowded theater if there's a fire.
Okay. Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who'd like to address the legislature? Okay, usually we take a 5 or 10 minute break at 7:30 so that when we do the rest of our work, we're not too cranky. So I know you want to hear from us as we speak, but I'm going to ask that we take a 10-minute break. I think we need that here. Legislators, please be back in your seats at 9:25. Thank you.